What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode one of Value Town, a show all about Hearthstone and this great game that we've been playing for a while. And we're going to be talking about everything and anything about Hearthstone events, the gameplay, the community, and, you know, you name it, we're going to be talking about it. And I'm, you know, lucky enough to have these two guys join me in this show. These two guys, if you've been watching Hearthstone for the last month, month and a half, since the beta came out, these guys are no strangers to you. I got none other than Kriparian here, who's content producer. He plays every game, Diablo, World of Warcraft, you name it, you guys know him. And then Trump here, who is also, you know, also this is playing the same games, basically, and super popular Hearthstone streamers here, and arena experts too. So can't wait to have you guys, you know, have you guys just teach us a few things. So what's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey
yo. All right.
Yes.
Don't show too much enthusiasm, guys. Dang. No, but for those of you that, you know, haven't been keeping up with the Reddit threads and that sort of thing, what we're going to do on the show is, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about gameplay. Today, we're going to be going through a lot of arena talk, going to evaluate some cards, evaluate the Paladin deck, and then talk about some news, too. There's some news about the accounts being wiped soon, and, you know, what that kind of means for all of us, having to start over and all that business. And then we'll end the show with you guys asking us questions. Post your questions in the Reddit thread, and I'll ask them at the very end, and we will, you know, we'll try to answer them the best we can. So let me link you the Reddit thread real quick here, subreddit. But guys, I'm going to start off with the tournament yesterday. Dude, what happened yesterday, man? I was like, okay, man, Value Town's going to be Thursday. We're going to have, like, first and second place, like, guys on here, and I'm going to be like, oh, yes, you know, we got champs here and all this good stuff. But then you guys finished third and fourth. What the hell, man? What happened?
Druid's OP.
Druid's good.
I think the Druid deck is extremely flexible on the kind of deck that they can beat. Like, the typical Druid deck is strong against almost everything. But they can, like, change stuff around to, like, fully counter someone. And, I've been trying to play Paladin as much as possible. And a weenie Paladin deck really sucks against, like, AoE kill, and that's all they have. So it's, like, impossible to win with the weenie Paladin deck. So I was trying to make a deck that would just beat Druids, and that was the inspiration of the deck that I played yesterday. And I did the day before, but, you know, since you could change your deck in the second game, I pretty much had to win the first to have a chance at winning a 2 out of 3 against them. And that
yeah, I mean, the first game was pretty close. The second game, it was... definitely changed it completely, which was crazy. Yeah. How about you, Trump? I didn't get a chance to watch your matches.
Well, I was going to run a Druid deck, but I didn't manage to build it as well as the people who played it in the finals and the person who played it against me. I built it so that it was really strong late game, but I couldn't survive early, so I just decided to go with the good old Rogue. Upon seeing what they had put in, I can see how they would have actually been able to survive and then had a strong late game. So I agree with Crypt that it's a very flexible and powerful overall deck. And the Rogue deck that I ran happened to be poor against few amounts of big creatures, and that's what they brought.
Mm-hmm. That's what my deck had too, but it didn't really work out against Trump. I had some pretty mediocre hands, and I don't know his side of things, but I beat the other Rogue.
Yeah, that's true, you did.
There's only two Rogues, and I was the only Paladin to face any of them, so. All the other Paladins got quickly knocked out by the Druids.
Any epic games? Your games weren't that epic, Rip. I was watching some of them.
I thought they were pretty good against the Rogue. I beat the Rogue with, like, 3 life after justicing, like, 4 times.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was thinking... I was confusing some of your just ladder games, or your practice games with the actual tournament. How about you, Trump? Any epic games?
Well, probably the game I enjoyed most, although it didn't end up being epic, was my last game against Crip. I pulled a complete deck switch on him, and it's the first time I revealed that.
Nice.
You still played pretty much the same cards.
No, you should have seen my hand. It was like Sinister Strike and Headcrack. So.
Oh, that's the deck that I beat that first guy with. He was playing a Spell Power, Headcrack, Sinister Strike deck.
Yeah, I figured reversed. You would sideboard in, like, Ooze and Harrison Jones or whatnot, so I didn't have any equipment.
Weapons. I sideboarded Harrison, but I always have the Oozes, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't we move on, and wanted to start things off by talking about the news of the... just all the accounts being wiped, and what that kind of means for you guys. I mean, I know, Crip, I know you've, like, unlocked all these achievements, right, and... I think you're going to have to redo them all. So I guess the question is, are you going to redo them all? And what are your thoughts on just the timing of the wipe?
Pretty much the reason they're going to do it is not going to be, it's like, hey, yeah, it's, you know, it's time to just destroy everything that people have done.
Yeah.
It's always has some purpose to it, and that's probably because they're going to rebalance a large portion of the cards. I think what they were talking about is leading to this. So it's great news, because I think playing in Arena and playing Constructed...
That many times.
Yeah.
Well, we are all collectively on Skype.
Yes, but... Okay, all right, I think we're back. We're back. Sorry about that, guys. Not sure. Don't want to speculate as to what happened there, but different setup going now, so hopefully... it'll be better. Excuse us if the video is a little bit worse than it normally is, but it's gonna have to be that way. So okay, so we were talking about the Rogue quest. I was just about to mention that Mana Addict, Questing Adventure, Auctioneer, Death combo I always run into. One of those, just pick your poison. But what else were we talking about? So what were we talking about with Rogues? It's obviously a Rogue.
We're talking about the
account wipe.
And why it would happen. And pretty much my opinion, well, my probably valid opinion is that they just want to add whatever changes they're planning on making, and they consider that probably the largest step forward in the game that they're going to be making, and they want to do a hard reset. So, You know, their Defias Ringleader, that will be a 1-1 that spawns a 1-1 that will cost 6 mana, you know, so it won't be 2 mana.
Oh gosh, man, if that's the only change they'll make, that's gonna be pretty bad. Yeah. There's a lot of changes they need to make to Rogue, in my opinion, but
yeah, make Eviscerate a legendary. Perfect.
Dude, just make their okay, we're gonna talk about it. Make all their spells more mana. I mean, I think if they made it more mana, or you added some penalties to some of those spells, it'd be a million times better.
I don't know, they're not winning all the tournaments, apparently. I think
they're not, but it's just general, I feel like, design. All the other classes for 0 mana, 1 mana, there's generally some penalty to some of those spells, like Soulfire, you lose a card, and, you know, things like that. Rogue, it takes no penalties for those spells.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, alright, anyway.
Just, when you're playing Arena, all the cards are common, so you have,
yeah,
like, 3 to 5 of each, and you just get stomped.
Yeah.
And you can't, all right,
so
any other deck.
No more balance now. We weren't supposed to talk about balance talk. We'll save it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll save
about
it.
The update, though. Like,
oh, yeah,
you think they're going to wipe it, and I have no inside information, but if it's a one-time wipe, then doesn't that mean that open beta might be around the corner?
Oh, I didn't really... I don't know,
I mean,
it was always in my head that it was going to be a while.
They're
but...
not wiping it again, so I figured they wouldn't do that unless it was coming.
Speculation. Trump speculations.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But I thought they said that open beta is not coming soon, and they posted
this,
right? That's
what I thought, too.
So, yeah.
They also didn't say when.
I wouldn't go too crazy with Trump's opinion.
you're just trying to stir up the community.
Everyone wants in the
game. Is that
what
you're doing, dude?
Trump's getting their hopes up, and they're going to be crushed.
Are you just trying to add more downvotes to the subreddit thread?
Well, here's my theory. Like, certainly they're going to make a lot of changes, but they could have done that without a wipe. This is the same.
Yeah, that's true. Updates can be done without wiping the whole account, all the accounts and stuff, right?
I don't know, maybe not. I haven't seen an update done in the game yet. Have you guys?
They've done some updates, yeah. They've done maintenance and Yeah, I think there's been one Hearthstone update I can remember, you know, where we had actually downloaded and all that business.
I don't even know what that one did.
Yeah, I don't either.
Either.
All right. Well, anyways, I think we'll find out soon. I mean, I think she mentioned that she'll be posting more on the blog as to what the details of the updates will be soon. So we'll find out probably in the next week, a couple weeks or something like that. But okay, let's move on to, let's just talk about the arena in general. And you guys are, I think, what everybody would consider the experts at arena right now, just in the community. You guys play every day. For the most part, like, what percentage of arena do you think you guys play compared to constructed?
I don't know. I typically just do constructed. If there's, like, a quest. Recently, I've been doing constructed because I wanted to do less, you know, a little bit more than terrible in the tournament. But, I don't know.
So on stream, you've been playing 98%. Yeah, I remember you saying that on turn two. 98%. That's a lot. That's definitely a lot. So what are the good things? We're gonna go through good things and bad things about the arena. And why don't you name a few and then name a few of each. So we'll start with you, Trump. What are the good things you love about arena and what are the bad things?
Alright, good things I like about arena. I've always liked Sealed in Magic the Gathering, and this is like choose your own Destiny Sealed, where you get to usually save yourself from garbage. And you can always have a lot of flexibility, a lot of variability, and I think variety is the spice of life, especially when you're playing a card game. That's why I tend to not play Constructed as much, even though I think it's a great format and whatnot. Arena lets you mix it up a lot more. So those are the great parts. Every game feels different. Every opponent plays a little differently. And bad parts, let's see.
It's that good.
It's that good. Maybe I'll get some ideas after Kriparian bashes it.
That's why I led with you, Trip.
Dude, I'm gonna
I knew you were going to be the positive guy here, and then we got the devil up there. All right, Krip.
All right.
Hit us.
So, this is what really sucks in Arena. I feel like very often you actually don't make that much of a diverse deck. But because the cards are random and because your opponent's cards are random, Trump is essentially right that, you know, you do encounter a lot of situations that you wouldn't normally encounter in Constructed, and that's why it's more interesting, that's why it's diverse. But, you know, when you're picking the cards, I feel like a lot of the strategy in picking the cards is fairly standardized now, and as a result, you know, it's kind of cool to play with a deck and whatnot, but largely your success is going to be dictated by the opponents that you run into. And every now and then, you run into the dude with like 6 fireballs or some crap like that, and you just get smashed. And that part's really frustrating, I feel.
Oh, come on. It's pretty awesome when you're the guy that has 6 fireballs, though, right?
I've had 5 fireballs in Leroy, and I'm at 9-1 with that deck, I think.
Oh, sure.
See, that's what I mean. You can get that deck and not win, because, you know, there's actually such a thing as overkill in good cards. Like, one time you had that 3 Pyroblast deck.
Oh, God.
I actually didn't even think that was too good. Like, that's too many Pyroblasts.
The only game I lost was when the 3 Pyros are the only thing in my hand on, like, turn 6 or something.
Yeah, that happens.
I just had nothing to play. But I won all the other games. So,
what variants.
Yeah, I mean, do you like the just complete randomness of the, you know, the kind of the drafting part of it, or do you wish there was some kind of parameter, like every deck gets like one legendary, that type of parameter?
I don't know. A lot of the legendaries are really crappy.
Yeah, they are. But do you think there should be any kind of parameters, or do you like this? You just
there already are some parameters. Like, Crit probably knows this more than I do. The extent that I know is that you're guaranteed like 3 rares: first pick, last pick, middle pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that to him. He actually told me, he's like, I think the last card you get is a rare. I'm like, yeah. So it's the first card, and like a few in the middle.
It makes sense. It's the music, man. Rares. The music, the intro music and the outro music is the giveaway, right?
But the other part that, you know, I've played Arena a lot now. Like, we're probably a month into the beta, and I just feel like if I don't have, like, a good arena deck, I'm not really, like, that into it. Probably just because I've done it so much. I don't know if Trump shares this feeling. But, you know, I'd pick like Shaman and get like one Fire Elemental, like no Bloodlust, no weapons, just a bunch of like creatures in the middle, just whatever. And you know, I'm not really excited to play something like that. So I feel that part is a little bit of a downer. So I wouldn't mind if they did have some kind of selection process where you could pick like any card you want in a given rarity or something like that to really fix it up a little bit.
Or maybe a set number of class picks. You know, you can, you know, you like, I don't know, maybe four selections or five selections are just purely class picks. Mm. Because I've had some decks where I've gotten nothing from my class. I mean, literally just all minions and one or two spells from my class. And that's, I mean, what's the point of even playing the class outside the hero power, right, at that point?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's part of the excitement of Arena. You can have those things happen. And I think that there's enough RNG, like, yeah, sometimes that happens, but for the most part, you'll get your somewhere between 7 and 13 class picks. Sometimes it's lower, sometimes it's higher, who knows? But the general range is good. And on the topic of, yes, sometimes you don't get the super strong cards in that class, I actually sort of like to... I sort of like playing those a little bit more, because then it's not a complete face smash, and it's sort of a desperate rush to get more wins out of it, just to salvage the deck, so to say.
I think it was the day before yesterday where I played a priest deck with no Holy Novas, no Mind Control, no Templar Enforcers, and just, you know, just a bunch of dinky 2 and 3 to cast creatures.
Oh boy. Did you get Shadow Form at least?
No.
Oh god, that's pretty bad. So what do you guys like think about discard though? Like, what if you could discard a few cards in Arena after the 30? Because one thing I find I have a problem with sometimes in Arena is I'll start off the draft and it'll be, like, all token decks. You know, just all tokens. I'm like, okay, I'm going to run aggro token. And so, like, the first, you know, maybe 8 picks or 9 picks, I'm doing that. And then the rest of the way, it's a complete opposite type of deck that I end up building. So I have kind of have these cards that are useless, you know. And what do you think about the concept of discarding at the end and repicking a few, just because, you know, at the end you kind of have a sense of what your deck's going to be like, so maybe you can, you know, get rid of some worthless cards.
Yeah, it really sucks when you have things like, you know, you get a rare pick between like a chicken, a mana addict, or
some, Wisp. Yeah.
Yeah, something like, oh, and the Wisp is not a rare pick, but really. You know, you have these dead cards, and you know, like. Like, it happened to me yesterday, I had to pick a Mana Addict. So I play Mana Addict on turn 2, and he gets killed by 3-2, and then I never get back board control, you know, stuff like that. There's these cards in the game that are so bad that if you play them, even on turn 2, you can practically lose the game under.
Yeah, like, Trump, what do you think?
I think that there's some value in having like these bad cards not be able to be discarded from your deck, since it just changes. It makes you have to make the tough choice of like, what's the best of the three worst cards? And everyone faces it. It's a little bit more variety and randomness. So I wouldn't be against like discarding at the end, but I don't think it's necessary at all. I also, to address Crip earlier, where he was saying like, you can pick a card. No, then you'd see like more of the same. It would be like a step towards constructed.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've definitely always really liked your take on it, Trump, and just the way, you know, your take on just adapting to whatever, you know, you're kind of given. And that's a lot to do with decision making, right? Decision making is you just make the best decision on what you're given. And I think that's, you know, that's really cool, and it does change the game. Like, the game shouldn't be based on the best case scenarios and that sort of thing. So I think that is a valid point, but God, some of those situations are just so bad sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it's exactly right. Like, it's what everyone's going to do. You're still going to play the deck, even if it sucks. You're still going to try to make the best of it.
Yeah.
But my point is, it's just, you know, sometimes when you get on the rough side of the RNG and the picks, it's just not as exciting to play the game, I feel, from my perspective.
I see. Challenge mode activated. And I think that you can... I think generally can do pretty well no matter what... I mean, I shouldn't say no matter what you pick, but assuming you make generally fair choices, according to, like, a mana curve, it all works out fairly okay.
Yep.
All right, straight up, guys. Who's better at Arena between you two?
I think Trump is probably a little bit more scientific about his approach, and I think does a little bit better as a result. Whereas I'm not so keen on the outcome.
You heard that, man. You heard that. What about you, Trump? What's your thoughts? Oh, man, don't. Oh, it's going to be a bunch of circle jerking now, man. Okay, let me see what you say here.
Why would you stir it up by asking that question?
What? It's a fair question.
I think that Crip is better at certain classes.
Oh, my God. This is... Okay.
I'm disgusted. Right, I'm getting out of here.
Exactly. All right, let's move on. Let's start talking about cards. How about that? A lot of people are asking about, let's talk value, and that sort of thing in chat. So, all right, let's get to the card talk. We're going to have a segments each and every week, guys, because I really wanted to pace ourselves through each episode and not just first episode, let's just blow our load and just talk about everything, and first couple episodes are great, and then the rest of them are just so-so. So we're going to start off with we're going to do one class at a time each episode. I'm going to start off with the Paladin card and their deck overall. So let's start off with that. Let me pull up some cards here. And let's get your general thoughts on the Paladin deck. Crip, I know you really, really like it, so why don't you start us off?
Yeah, Paladin's really good. I think you need very few cards to have a good deck, in Arena at least. That is what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arena Paladin? Or just Paladin?
We can talk more Arena Paladin. I mean, I really wanted to base this a lot of the talk this episode just on Arena, so let's talk Arena Paladin.
Yeah, so Arena Paladin is really good because there's a few cards that, you know, are not too rare that are just absurd in a Paladin deck. So, like, Cult Master, Trump thinks is one of the best cards, but in a Paladin deck, you know, it's scaled the best out of any of the decks. And things like Frostwolf Warlord, those kinds of creatures, if you see them, they're just amped up so much by the hero power, and I don't know, it's pretty cool. I like playing Paladin because you always have to do the board control. Like, I've never seen a Paladin do like a rush deck, at least in Arena. Actually, that's not true. I have seen it, and I've actually lost to it. But typically, I don't do that, and I think all the standardized picks of all the neutral cards, like when people rate like the best neutrals of each cost and all that, all those typically apply to Paladin. So it's just very, very smooth. It's very easy to build a deck, and it's very easy to have good success with it. And so
yeah,
I like it.
A lot of the spells amplify minions, you know, or they, you know, or they debuff minions, right, with a Paladin. That's a nice synergy between, I think, the class in general. Trump, what do you think? Paladin, Arena.
This is one of those classes that Crip is the master at, and I would say he's definitely better at Arena at Paladin than I am. I actually distinctly think Paladin is average. He makes a good point that the hero ability makes a lot of the neutral cards a lot better, which is why you don't need as many of the Paladin cards. The Paladin cards, I think, are average. Like, they're good, they're not great, a lot of them. There are some really good ones, but
name
the
them.
Basic
name
common
them.
Ones, they're good, not great.
Okay, I guess we'll get to some of those cards, I guess, right. once we go card
sure.
by card. But okay, so let's start from the beginning. And I got the cards here lined up so that we can go through each one and assess them.
Are we talking Paladin cards here?
Paladin cards.
Paladin
so go ahead and
cards.
Click on the Paladin.
Oh,
first
man.
Card we got is Light's Justice, the 1/4 weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at
I
that.
Typically, I typically try not to pick it.
Okay, there's, you know, there's not very many. Well, I mean, a lot of the spells are one mana, but there's no. I don't think there's that great of a one mana pick for a Paladin in general. Can y'all think of a good one? That's not. You know, whenever I see one, sometimes I pick the Light's Justice.
Blessing of Wisdom is excellent. Hand of Protection is pretty good.
When you have no minions, though.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Redemption is pretty poor, but it's still, you know, better than the large variety of the other ones.
Redemption you usually play when you know what minion you're going to play, though, right? Or you already have a minion on the board.
No, you play it before you kill off your minion.
Okay. Trump, what do you think? You obviously hate that card. I would guess, given that you yawned during it.
I think it's okay.
No, not Redemption. Light's Justice. We're talking about Light's Justice.
Oh, Light's Justice.
Yeah.
Oh, we're
skipping
that.
Around.
Yep.
Okay, let's just stay on Light's Justice now.
Okay.
I think it's below average. I wouldn't hate, like, I would pick it over a lot of neutral cards, though. I mean, I shouldn't say a lot. I would pick them over the bottom 30 percentile of neutral cards for the basic slot, since that's what Light's Justice is, the basic card.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right, next up we got Blessing of Might, which gives a minion +3 attack.
I think this sucks.
It's one of those cards that's in a Rush Paladin deck, which Crypt doesn't play, but I think it could be valid in that deck. And on the whole side, though, I agree it sucks.
Yeah, I generally avoid it, too. Okay, next two, we got Blessing of Wisdom. Choose a minion whenever it attacks, draw a card. I love casting that on actually an opponent's deck. opponent's minion.
I like to pick up one or two. I played a deck where I picked like four, and I lost just because I'd draw like two or three.
Having one is really good. Did you pick the four just because you thought it was super good? Or
It was like really early on in Arena. So maybe like first couple of days that I played the game. So I wasn't too scientific about constructing the deck. Just like, oh, that looks pretty good.
Yeah. It's one of those cards that I definitely want one or two of, and typically, just by the way that Arena works, you can pick it when there are two worst choices, so it's not one I go out of my way of picking, but I love it when I pick it and it was up against two garbage cards.
Any particular minion that it synergizes with really well? I mean, outside of, like, Wind Fury, I mean, come on, that's, like, the obvious one, but that doesn't happen super often.
The Wind Fury has some additive benefit with Paladin because you're likely to pick Kings on top of Wisdoms. So you have two things that scale Wind Fury creatures.
But it still has to survive a round, right? Which I guess with Kings you're going to be adding 4/4 to it. Yeah.
I don't know. You don't Kings unless they attack.
Okay, so it's not going to last very long then. Right? I mean, Wind Fury dies. Every time I throw a Wind Fury unit down, dude, it dies. Unless I'm playing Hunter or something, I can charge them. You know, it doesn't live long enough. Do you ever put Divine Shield on it?
No, I never do any of that defensively because the opponent can have anything. You always do it offensively. But the thing with Blessing Wisdom, I don't know if it was Trump that mentioned it, but you can cast on your opponent's creature. So if, you know, if your opening hand is terrible, or if you think the creature they're going to put down is going to get killed or something like that, then you can put Blessing Wisdom on the opponent's creature. And from my experience, at least lately, nobody attacks with their creatures. So you can think of it as a flexible card where in the end it can gain you like 10 life or so for one mana, something like that.
Ooh, that's a good point.
And that's also the reason why I don't like Light's Justice. Typically the win condition on the Paladin is late game, and the lose condition is losing in the early game. And if you use Light's Justice, while you might kill, you know, one, maybe two creatures with it, you know, the card value is still not that high. And as a result of you killing those creatures, you're going to take a life penalty, which I feel you may need in the end.
Yeah, those are good points, man.
Blessing of Wisdom is one of those cards which doesn't require a specific combo to work. Like, Wind Fury's nice, but even if you just use it and attack once with it, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You just paid one mana, draw a card.
Yeah.
There are a lot of situations where, like, say you have two creatures out and your opponent has two minions out and your opponent has one minion. You put Blessing of Wisdom on the minion that you don't want the opponent to kill, and then they're forced to attack that instead. Sort of like a quasi taunt. And you still attack with it and you draw a card. And sometimes they attack the other one and you end up drawing two cards, which is super value for Blessing of Wisdom.
Yep. Another thing is, you can play Blessing Wisdom because it's only one mana at the same time as another very silencey card. Like in Arena, very often I'll pick a Drake. I think it's really good, especially for Paladin, because you can just spam your hero ability at the start. So I can do Drake, and then I can put the Wisdom on a 1/1 and attack with a 1/1. And then, you know, if they waste their turn with a Silence, I can get another card out of it. So anytime you think you're likely to get more than one card out of Wisdom, it's an unbelievable card.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next card, Eye for an Eye. So it's a secret: when your hero takes damage, deal that much damage to your enemy hero. Have you ever used it?
No.
Okay, that's same here. I don't think I've ever used it. So.
This is the worst card. I think it is the worst card in Hearthstone. What do you think, Rick?
Wow.
I don't know. There's some other bad cards out there.
The worst card, man. I had to think about that. There's some bad cards. All right, that might have to be a question that we ask next week. The worst card, our opinions on the worst card in Hearthstone. But we know Trump's now, eye for an eye. Okay, let's go to the next one. Noble Sacrifice, another secret. When an enemy attacks, summon a 2-1 defender as the new target. And it's a pretty common thing. I think most paladins use this card. We'll start with Trump this time. Let's have Trump talk about it this time. We'll switch the order.
It's sort of like the paladin secrets are generally pretty limited, so when people play one, it's usually Noble Sacrifice, just because the other ones generally aren't very good or don't make sense to play when you're not about to trade, for example, Repentance. So it's like a 1-mana 2-1 taunt, and that's okay. It's not great. I wouldn't run it. I wouldn't pick it highly.
Okay, Grip?
Yeah, I think it's pretty bad. I think what Trump said about the commonality in it, like, you know, typically when someone has a secret up, it is Noble Sacrifice. So I think that actually adds value to the other secrets, because they actually do something else while they attack as if you had Noble Sacrifice. But that may change.
Mind games. That's the beauty of secrets. But yeah, I don't know. I don't love... I mean, I agree that secrets do cause mind games and can cause your player, you know, just your opponent, to react in a favorable way for you. But yeah, I kind of agree with Trump that the paladin secrets are not very... There's not much variety to them, right? So it's not like the mage one where you really have three different categories of secrets that have huge impact. And you really, really have to be careful whenever you're playing against them. So, but they're all 1-mana, though. They're all really cheap, which is nice, though. Okay, Humility. Yeah. Change a minion's attack to 1.
It's nice in a control deck. By nice, I mean, like, it's... I would say it's rates in the average category to maybe below average. It's like Polymorph, and it's 3-mana cheaper than Polymorph, so that is a big favor for it, but doesn't do a lot of the things that Polymorph does, obviously.
I think if this was like a rogue card, it'd be good. But the problem with Humility is you still have to spend effort into killing off the creature, because if you don't, it's going to kill all your 1/1s for free. So, I don't know. I really hate Humility. It doesn't do enough to justify one card in your hand. I've picked it very few times, and the times that I have, it's fairly poor. The Paladin doesn't have the most removal, like, but, you know, you have some. If you're really desperate for a removal, maybe near the end of an arena pick, among other crappy cards, you might pick it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Humility, too, is I think you typically pick Aldor, though, right? And Humility is kind of Aldor's battle cry anyways.
You're not going to see Aldor that much in arena. It's rare.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking Constructed then. But, yeah, so Aldor, I mean, Aldor, which we'll get to in a second, has that ability, too. So, I mean, they have to really have a lot of big units for you to want to, I think, change their attack to 1. Okay, let's switch to the next two, which is...
That's a good point, Crip. I didn't think about it. That if that were not a Paladin card, it would actually be pretty good.
Yep.
It's because the Paladin ability is summon a 1-1.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next up, Redemption. More secrets. This 1-mana is kind of the sweet spot for secrets. Redemption. When one of your minions die, return it to life with 1 health.
All right, this is how you use this card, okay? So... it's like turn 2, you put your Imani Berserker and the other guy responds with like a Knife Juggler, right? So okay. Then you drop Redemption and you run your Imani Berserker into the Knife Juggler. So you use it offensively when you know the creature is going to die. And your Berserker dies and he comes back as an enraged 5-1.
Oh, does he really? Like that. Oh, that's nice.
Wait, what? It works like that?
He comes back as enraged?
Yes. Yep.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
I'm almost certain I've tried that before and it didn't work out that way.
It absolutely works that way. And okay. The other thing is it combos extremely well with Argent Commander.
Oh, with 1 health. I'm sorry, I was thinking of a different one.
Yeah, Argent Commander for sure. I've done that many times. Tyrion too. Yeah.
No, Argent Commander because, you know, you attack into the creature with your bubble, you know, he does his turn, whatever, then it's your turn again. If your creature survived the turn, you can drop Redemption, suicide it. It comes back as a charge bubble, so you attack a second time with the same creature. So it's kind of like a Kirkron Elite for 1-mana.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, any of the Divine Shield ones, honestly. But yeah, the commander has charge, so it's more potent because of that. But yeah, Redemption with Divine Shield is so cost efficient. It's just ridiculous, actually, how good it is. What do you think, Trump?
Good calls, Griff.
Yeah, I think it's the only secret that's actually worth playing, but it's still pretty mid range compared to the other cards that you can pick typically.
Yeah. Okay, next up, we're going to get to the 2-mana cards. All right, these are kind of fun. So Divine Favor, which is a rare. Draw cards until you have as many in your hand as your opponent.
Oh, we missed Repentance, which is the one that I thought... It's the one that doesn't trigger Enrage.
Oh, sorry, I skipped it. You're right. Sucks. Sorry. Let's get to that. Oh.
Yeah,
it's okay. We can skip that. It's a terrible card.
It's skippable. I agree.
Okay, so you never use Repentance and Consecrate kind of combo?
No.
You play the Repentance, and then they play something like Loot Hoarder, and then you're really sad.
Yep.
Yeah, true.
You just have no control over what they're playing. That's the issue.
Yeah, true. Okay, Divine Favor. Crip, thoughts?
I don't know. This really hit or miss in Arena. Had it win me games, but typically opponents that you face are playing a very similar deck to you, so you're not likely to draw more than like 2 cards, which is still fair. But on the flip side, if they're playing like a rogue and they're just dumping their hand, you know, it's a dead card against an opponent that you really need cards on. So, I don't know. I've picked it a few times, but I kind of hesitate to nowadays. And I have to say that picking 2 is a huge mistake. You never get 2 Divine Favors, because if they show up in the same hand, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Divine Favor is nuts! It's super good when you're playing an aggro deck. If you're not playing like a deck with mostly 4 or less, then it does suck. So it's hit or miss in that sense. That's one of the cards that you'll want to base your draft around, I think. I would play 2 of those in an aggro deck.
Dude, if you're playing an aggro deck and you're playing against a warlock, oh my god, Divine Favor is awesome. I've gotten 4 or 5 cards like every time I've played against guys like that, so... Yeah, but it can be. It just depends on the class you play against, though. I kind of agree with both of you on that one. Equality, change the health of all minions to 1.
This card is like super powerful, but because everything is around board control, its usefulness is usually delayed. Like, you're going to have this card in your hand for a long time until you can get good use out of it, and I don't know. I think Arena's in a state where people know that Paladins are trying to kill off all your creatures while they maintain theirs, so the opponent's going to try to do the same. They're not going to let you have your 1/1s or anything. It's pretty hard to get use out of it. I don't like it really that much, and comboing it with Consecrate is something I've only done 1 time, and you know, I've played Arena a lot, so...
Wow, 1 time? Dang,
yes.
Okay.
I've only pulled off the combo 1 time in Arena.
That's crazy. Trump.
Feels great when you pull off that combo. Other than that, it's sort of like mass execute, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what equality is. And in that sense, it's okay. Value goes up if you have a lot of weak guys again, which Paladin specializes in. That's why they have like the summon ability, summon a 1/1. Then you equalize, and then you trade your 1/1 with like their ogre or whatever. And it's pretty ridiculous then. So better in an aggro deck.
Okay. Yeah, I've pulled it off the Consecrate combo more than once. I definitely probably 3 or 4 times, and it's been game-changing late game, so I have good feelings with that one. Mm-hmm. Argent Protector. Battlecry, give a friendly minion Divine Shield. I think lots of people use this card. Crip, what do you think?
I think this card is ridiculous.
Good or bad?
Ridiculously good. We missed the 1-drops, Hand of Protection, which is 1 mana to give something Divine Shield, by the way. And
oh my god, hold on, sorry. I think
that card is a good card. And considering that thought, this card is a ridiculous card. Because for 1 mana, you essentially get a 2/2 creature at the same time.
Right.
So
this card is nuts. It's one of those cards I would want to get at least 4. I mean, if I had the choice, I would pick four of those in Arena, and then I'd have to think about the fifth one, but I'd probably still pick the fifth
oh
one.
Oh my god. Yeah. I have to think about the fifth one, too. That's awesome.
You just have to know that when you're making the deck that it's typically not going to be a two-drop, so you have to get a lot of two-drops if you're going to play a lot, like Trump was saying.
Okay. What are some good synergies you use with it? Do you use Brewmaster a lot with it?
It's
nice.
I like to have a Brewmaster in my deck, typically. But you just use it, and you get a free creature just from its ability. That's it.
Yeah. The combo is to play it while you have a guy.
Whoa.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey. Okay, Hand of Protection. I'll bring it up in a second. It's obviously really good. Actually, let me just bring it up right now.
Well, it's one of those like buff cards, so initially I thought it was pretty bad, and I think Trump said something about it. I don't remember, though, but I think he said that he wasn't too thrilled about it. But with Paladin, it can be pretty hard to get board control, and mana efficiency in the early game can be taken into account as value. So if you can kill off a creature for free for one mana in the card, obviously, so even though it's a one for one, you know, that allows you to do like a two drop. He does a two drop, and then you do Hand of Protection and another two drop, and he loses a two drop. So even though it's still one for one, you're up two creatures, he has none, and then you get discount for the rest of the game typically. So that's why I feel Hand of Protection is one of those like momentum building cards that's, you know, useful early game, useful late game. So it's very good.
Yeah. Just the concept of Divine Shield. The Divine Shield just in general is so, it's just cost efficient. It's I think it's one of the best techs, but we'll get into that later on. Okay, so that's Hand of Protection. Let's move on to Holy Light. Trump, heal cards, restore 6 health. What do you think about those?
So I'm Grip and I actually talked about this a while ago, I think. anyways, I think the card sucks. It's probably one of the worst cards. New people to trading card games might be like, oh, this game is decided based on health, and they'd be like, oh yeah, I can just regain 1/5 of my hit points with this one card, and it's amazing. But it turns out that the card is usually worth more than 6 health, and if it were the early game, for example, and I had like a free way to trade health for cards, I would probably be willing to just like lose 5 life and then pick up a card, like if it costs 0 mana.
Yep.
So
okay,
Holy Light bad.
Yeah, Holy Light is pretty bad, but there are cards that I would pick Holy Light over.
Well, there are a lot of
cards. Necessarily come to mind, but I mean, if it's Magma Rager, Wisp, Holy Light, I'm picking Holy Light.
I would pick Magma Rager.
In
you
a
would
Paladin
pick Magma
deck?
Rager over.
Not in a Paladin.
Wow.
Deck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why not in a Paladin deck? I mean, the Magma Rager is bad against any class that can deal 1 damage to it, but I don't think it's necessarily bad in a Paladin deck. In fact, it might be best in the Paladin deck since you can toss Divine Shield on it.
The problem with Paladin, I feel, is running into those guys that can deal 1 damage to your creatures, so running Magma Rager compounds the weakness.
Yeah, I was going to get to Magma Rager whenever we talked about it, because just the value of it, but we'll get
but
to that.
Just for the people watching, Holy Light can be cast on a creature as well as yourself. So if you're facing a like board control type opponent, you can use it to save a creature, and if you're facing like a rogue, which is going to try to burn down your hit points, you can use it to gain life. So it's still pretty bad, but it's, you know, it's still something. I think it complements the Paladin strengths and weaknesses, though being a shitty card.
No, I like the talk of how you guys kind of measure it upon other values, just the other cards and the different types of, you know, damage or text and that sort of thing. So 6 health. I mean, you kind of alluded to it, Trump, but you know, like what cards you would probably prefer. But how do you actually evaluate 6 health in a 2 mana card? Like, what is it actually worth to you in terms of? Because you mentioned you'd rather pick a card instead of taking 5 damage and health. So a card is worth 6 health. I mean, is that generally right, or?
It's hard to say. I will say this much: if Holy Light only costs 1 mana, I still wouldn't pick it. If it costs 0 mana, it would probably be imbalanced, and I still wouldn't consider... I might consider picking it then.
Wow, okay.
So basically, the weakness of this Restore 6 health card is it's on a card, so that if you draw it, then you basically didn't get a card draw to affect the board.
Right. Doesn't do damage. Okay, let's...
At least early on.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next two cards. Alright, a couple good cards here. Aldor Peacekeeper, which is Battlecry Change, and enemies attack to one, which is the same as Humility. What do you think of that, Grip?
This card is ridiculous.
When he says ridiculous, he means good, guys, alright? I think we're starting to realize that.
Yes. This is one of the best creatures. I think this is the best creature in the Paladin-only cards, actually. I think it beats every other Paladin card, including Legendaries and all that shit. Yep.
Okay. You think it's better than Tyrion Fordring?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. Tyrion always gets the card, the one card kill every single time. I mean, not every single time, but majority of the time, right? He gets negated, so...
Yeah. It's just that, three for 3/3 is solid. It's not, like, the best, but it's very solid. And on top of that, his battle cry is amazing. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, if you look at a lot of the Paladin cards, they have high synergies with battle cries and then pandas. So you can panda him back and you get super synergy.
Yeah. Trump, the card is insane. Be good.
Okay, that's it? That's all you got? Okay, I guess Crypt summed it up pretty well.
It beats every single 3-drop in the game. It actually beats any drop in the game, because, like, in one-on-one combat. Yeah. Well, almost any. Like, the most extreme way to think of it is if you think of Humility as Polymorph, if you're a real extremist, and sometimes it's almost as good as Polymorph, because, like, you put it on there 4/5, and it becomes a 1/5, and that's not a big deal. It's still some threat, but, like, it's greatly diminished, almost to the level of, like, a 1/1 sheep. So, Polymorph costs 4, and then Aldor Peacekeeper is 1 cheaper than Polymorph, and you get a 3/3. It's amazing. In the most extreme scenario.
No, that's kind of interesting that you brought up the point of just how they how a card would match up just head-to-head with another card on a board. And I think, you're right. It'd have to be larger than a...
It'd have to have more than nine health, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. Okay, the next card, Sword of Justice. It's a sword. It has 5 durability, 1 damage, and whenever you play a minion, you give it 1/1 until the durability is lost.
Yep.
I got a general idea on this script. I'll go first on the right ones. You go first on the
left
ones.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
Okay, that sounds like a good system.
All right. So Sword of Justice card is ridiculously good. It's basically... Think of it as 3 mana for a 5/5. Yep. That's sort of the extreme way to think of it, and you will play 5 creatures eventually, and they'll all get +1/+1, but it's still better than that, because buffing your own guys by +1/+1 tends to be better than just getting a 5/5, I think. It lets you basically... you play a 4-drop, it's almost guaranteed to be better than their 4-drop. You play a 5-drop, it's better than their 5-drop. The card is insane.
And it has the versatility of being used as a weapon, too, if you want to clear anything. So that's that's value on top of that. Grip?
I do sometimes ping a creature. I think typically with any sort of justice, I ping off one creature. So I probably get a 4/4 out of my 3, and it deals 1 damage, which is still extremely good, as Trump mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Though I have to say that I think a lot of people use this in Constructed, and I think it sucks in Constructed.
Really?
Yeah.
I use it in Constructed.
I think in Arena, it's incredible, just as Trump said, but I think in Constructed, with the amount of combos that people pull off and the fact that everyone uses oozes, if this gets oozed, you're boned as a paladin, and that's pretty likely to happen.
Even with the true champions? I mean, the paladin carry is obviously a lot of true champions.
If you miss a 3-drop, you're going to lose the game as a paladin.
Yeah, with my... I mean, we... Don't want to talk too much about Constructed, but I have been trying to figure out whether it's too slow, like having to arm it at 3 with a lot of the Paladin decks that I've been
playing. I mean if it gets oozed. Like if you play it on turn 3 and it gets oozed, you're done.
Sure.
I mean I've
actually run I've just been trying to evaluate whether it's just too slow for me to even run like a very aggro like Divine Shield build or whatever, you know, a token kind of build. It, so you're losing that three turns sometimes can cost you board control, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, let's move on. True Silver Champion, speaking of the other weapon, whenever your hero attacks, restore 2 health. And it's a 4 damage, 2 durability weapon. Trump, you go first on this one, right? On the left?
No.
Oh, God. I'm all confused. All right, Crip, you're first on the left.
Oh, my God. I don't want to be part of this anymore. This is terrible.
Well, you're, like, Trump's on my left here on Skype, all right? And you're on my right, so I'm, like, having to reverse it. Okay, go for it.
All right. So, contrary to popular belief, this card is actually quite good. It turns out that weapons in Hearthstone have a large impact on the game. This happens to just be one of the better weapons.
Contrary to what people think, huh?
Yep. Everyone's used this card who's played the game. And, they know the impact on the game. The way I like to use it is if I have a big, like a really good 4 drop, and the board control is questionable, instead I'll True Silver, clear up the board, because you can control that turn, so control 4, like turn 4 is yours, mm-hmm. and turn 5 is yours. So yeah. Even if they ooze it, it's fine, because an ooze is a crap creature. So True Silver Champion is, in my opinion, like one of the most significant cards you can drop on turn 4. It'll pretty much win you the game if you can do a turn 4 drop. Like in even in Constructed, if I have a Drake on turn 4, I'll Drake on 5, and I'll True Silver on 4.
Nice.
Yeah.
Trump?
Yeah, I don't think I like it quite as much as Kriparian. I mean, I'm going to say not quite as much because I rank it like top tier as well. But if I had the Drake, I might consider playing on turn 4 of the champion. That's all. It's a 2-for-1 in that it'll kill 2 things, and that's super good. And that's why weapons are good.
Rank it on the scale of all the weapons in the game. How does it rank?
I actually like it less than Fiery War Axe. What do you think, Crip?
Wow.
I have to agree. I think turn 2 is more significant than turn 4. Yeah. But, I mean, Paladin, you don't have Fiery War Axe, so...
Yeah.
That's the only one?
This is the best Paladin weapon, because it's the only one. Yeah. I mean, it's the only one.
I think Assassin's Blade is better than this as well, just because you get 4 creatures. You can get a 4-for-1.
And you can get the poison synergy with it too, which is ridiculous. Okay, next up, Blessing of Kings, which I actually see you use all the time, Crip, when we were practicing leading up to your journey.
Given don't bring me into this. This is Trump's card.
Is it? Oh,
yes,
shit.
It's the right side.
I know, but I was making a comment to you about it. I wasn't asking him for his opinion on it right off the bat. Given minion 4-4. Trump, what do you think of it, man?
Card's crazy. It basically stands in for removal because you'll often kill someone with it, and it's not just removal because it also buffs your creature permanently. Not only that, if you play Raging Gorgon on turn 3 and then you play Blessing of Kings on turn 4, you're going to win the game.
Crip?
This card is amazing. I think it's better in the slower-paced decks than the faster ones. Because it allows you to troll the crap out of your opponent with your dinky 1-1s.
That's what I was going to say, man.
Yeah.
It's like you're just waiting. You're like, oh. It's like, I'm tired of taking out this damn 1-1. I'm going to leave 1 on the table.
Yeah, boom, just like 1-1 every turn. 1-1, 1-1. And then, so I do like a turn 2, 1-1. I do a turn 3, 1-1. But if I go second and you don't kill the turn 2, 1-1, sometimes people don't, then you can coin kings and just like level the board. And typically, the problem with buffs is you often lose the value if it gets silenced, but with kings, it's not really like that, because it's such a high value to both attack and life that you typically use it, like Trump said, as removal. And the worst case scenario, even if it gets silenced, you get a 1-for-1, and if it doesn't get silenced, you get even more value out of it. And if it's Wind Fury, it's just absolutely devastating.
Oh my god, Wind Fury? I've never had the opportunity to use it with Wind Fury. That would be ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, if you're playing Arena and you know you're 25 cards in, you got like 4 Blessing of Kings and 2 Blessing of Wisdoms. Suddenly, when you see, you know, the Thralmar, the 2/3 Wind Fury, that's looking like a really good card. So,
yeah.
All right.
That's actually one of the cool things about Paladin. Like, it brings up the value of a lot of neutral cards, which are usually in the mediocre category. It brings them up in the good category, or even insane.
Yeah, do you think? I mean, Paladin is the best class, right? To synergize with minions in general, neutral minions at least.
I think
Shaman's decent too.
Yeah. I haven't thought about it that way to really say. But yeah,
all right.
Probably.
Okay, let's move on. All right, we got Consecrate, deals 2 damage to all enemies. Crip, I mean.
Whoa, okay.
I did it right. Now, okay, don't be too shocked. Holy crap.
When you compare this card to, like, all the other area of effect removal, it's crap. But because you need it so desperately as a paladin, it's actually a very, very good card for a paladin. Yeah, you have to get it. You have to get, like, 2. I don't know if I've ever had, like, 3. I don't really know how many is too many, just because they don't... For some reason, these tend to not show up for me. But you have to pick this. Like, if it's the first one, and the other card is not True Silver Champion, then you have to pick a Consecrate when you're doing your arena picks.
Yeah, that 4 or 5 range is usually where the aggro builds kind of kick, too. So it's Consecrate's just, like you said, a necessity to clear some of that out. Shrump, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, what bad... why are we calling this card bad compared to others? Like, if we compare to Blizzard, costs 1 less compared to...
I'd rather have Blizzard. What?
Freezes.
You don't like Blizzard on...
I'd rather have Blizzard. I'd rather have Flamestrike. I'd rather have Lightning Storm. Oh. I might even have Fan of Knives.
What
am I missing?
Oh, there's a lot of them. I mean, you're talking about all units?
So it's like the middle between Blizzard and Fan of Knives. And I think that's a good amount because, like, 2 damage kills a lot of things. And it's early enough that you can play it and often get 2 things with it.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, it is limited to early game, though. Like, the way you're talking about, the value is all early game.
I like way more. I like Starfall.
I mean, Starfall,
more.
Which is cost 1 more, does the same thing.
No,
it has the option.
You can use it to kill a 5.
Yeah, you have an option
you
there,
can.
Though.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's at the very least below average on the AoE removal scale.
But you like it a lot, Trump?
I think it's above average. And either way, though, we would
both pick it.
Highly paladin deck.
You have to pick. So.
Yeah. Hammer of Wrath. Deal 3 damage, draw a card. I usually love these
this
cards.
This is a
so.
Super strong card.
Yeah.
because it draws a card and deals 3 damage.
Thanks, man.
Whoa.
Thanks. Don't get too crazy here in the analysis. Word
so,
analysis.
to be more clear, let's see. If it's better than deal 4 damage because it replaces itself. The draw card is super good and like how much would I value draw a card? I would probably value it as like if you tacked on 2 mana on top of what a card usually does, then it would still be good in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
And that seems to be how things are generally valued.
Crip, what do you think?
I think a lot of the decks that you lose to as a paladin have largely entirely 3 or less toughness creatures. So, yeah, you remove a card and you gain card advantage. It's extremely good.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of Wrath, you know, for druids. How do you compare it to Wrath? Wrath is what, 3 mana?
I think Wrath is better.
Yeah, it's 3 mana. It has the option, right?
Just because it's 2... Any 2 mana removal deals with plant size, and I think that is immense value.
Which would you rather have, Trump?
Well, luckily I don't have to make the choice, but let's see. Suppose I could make the choice.
No, this is good for analysis, right?
Yeah, they're both good, and it's in different situations. I think I'd rank them like side by side. I would probably say...
Let me bring it up for you guys. So
Wrath.
You can see it.
It's close, though.
Right. Yeah. For those of you that don't know Wrath, and it's a druid card, so we shouldn't be talking about it, but you know. Okay, so here's Wrath. Wrath is it's a 2 mana card. You can do 3 damage, or you can do 1 and draw a card. So there's kind of this decision making involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Whoops, let me go back to the cards. Okay, so let's move on. Okay, next up is Blessed Champion, double minions attack. Crip?
I've used it in Arena before, and I don't know if I actually ended up playing it at all. It's just if you're winning, then you're gonna win by having six creatures and your opponent has none. He has one card in his hand. If you're losing, you don't have a creature to play it on. So I feel it's absolutely terrible.
For me, I compare it with the Shaman Wind Fury card, which is basically doubling a minion's attack, and that costs two. Is this thing on? I think it is.
Yeah.
It's on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Things start blinking for me. So it's like two. It's like a five mana Wind Fury, and Wind Fury is not something I would pick highly either. So
I think this is a rare.
Yep.
Well, in theory, it sounds great. Doubling a minion's attack.
Why is this five mana? Like,
yeah. And it's like, I don't think paladins carry giant units typically either. I mean, maybe in Arena, maybe when you're forced to. So I know at least in Constructed, I never pick this card. Okay. Well, next card we got Holy Wrath. This is also kind of a weird card. Draw a card and deal damage.
Let's get back to Blessed Champion.
Okay, let's go back.
Okay, I actually did play it recently, and I won a game that I should not have won with it. I played I played against a priest who mind-controlled my divine-shielded 10-10 Drake.
Shit. Okay.
And I was at 11 life. And I played a... what was that called? The 7/5 stealth creature. He's
The assassin dude. Yeah, yeah.
Ravenhold.
Yeah, yeah. Then the Drake hit me, and then I put Kings and then Blessed Champion and one shot at the priest for 22.
Oh my god!
He was at like 21 life or something like that. So Blessed Champion is pretty good on stealthed creatures if you have to use the card when used in combination with other attack buffing cards. As is Wind Fury. Let's be realistic. Wind Fury is also great on stealth creatures.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the great thing about Blessed Champion versus Wind Fury is that it's not visible. You know, like, your opponent doesn't know you're going to play it, right? So the target, whatever target you're going to cast it on isn't necessarily... You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, it's probably going to be high priority just because they're probably going to be doing a lot of damage, but it is concealed to an extent.
Yeah.
So there's more value in that. All right, so let's get to Holy Wrath. Have you ever used this card? Do you ever use this card?
Wait, why are we laughing at it? I think it's okay. In fact, it's I'm going to go out on a limb here. So okay. It's above average.
Really? Wow.
Yep. So Hammer of Wrath
is
a card I just talked about. It's four mana. Deal three damage, draw a card. I thought that was a really good card. Now Holy Wrath is worse than that because it deals a random amount of damage, but it's usually like 3+, so I can understand why it costs more, and it still draws you the card. So it's more unreliable, but it still deals with something and draws a card, which is good.
Okay. I've never played it. I've had it played against me.
Yeah, makes sense.
I've never really had any surprises with it. Typically, the opponents have Holy Wrath like two defense creatures, and sometimes they don't even die. So.
Okay. Well,
I would never pick it. Like, it's a rare. There's always a rare better than Holy Wrath. Almost always.
So we're classified by rares now? Come on.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about Arena. Yeah.
Oh, true. Okay.
If it's
that's
Arena,
true.
Then it's going to be Holy Wrath against two other rares. It's not.
Well, that's true.
It's not Humility here. You're not going to see Holy Wrath versus Humility. You're going to see Holy Wrath versus Blessed Champion or something like that. And I'd probably get Blessed Champion, though I don't know, that one's also pretty bad.
Okay.
Wow, it'd be Holy Wrath for me, and wouldn't even be close if the two were paired up against each other.
I think I would, I mean, I think Trump, you changed my mind on it. I think I would probably lean towards Holy Wrath now. Now that you put it that way. Alright, let's, hold on, man, X-Split's kind of going nuts on me here. Oops. Okay, let's... Oh, hold on.
Oh, rip.
Hold on. Uh-oh. It's getting a little crazy for me here. X-Split's not letting me change images here. All right, let me bring up... I'm going to bring up the site instead. Give me a second, guys. Sorry. I don't know why. It won't... The XSplit's kind of hung up right now. At least the portion where I can, like, you know, adjust the cards and stuff. So
have you actually used Holy Wrath, Trump? Like, in Arena?
Yeah, I have. And I would usually... so there's two situations where I would cast it. When it's up against the... Oh, and also I should mention that I would only play Holy Wrath in a non-aggressive deck, because if your mana curve is too low, then Holy Wrath is real bad. If your mana curve is on average above 3, then I would cast it on a 2 toughness creature and feel fairly confident at killing it. Or, if you had like a lot of guys and they had a lot of guys, I would cast it on their highest toughness, highest health guy, and then see what happens from there.
I pretty much every case that I've seen has been on the 2 toughness creature. And considering that and your draw card rule, would you say paying 3 mana to deal 2 damage is effective for a paladin? Against other rares?
No, but...
That's pretty bad, actually.
It's usually... I would usually try to hit a high health guy with it. Like, hitting a 2 toughness, 2 health guy, I would say is somewhat of a desperation play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I figured out how to get it shown. It's kind of work around. Alright, okay. So next up we got a Wrath. Shoot 8 missiles at random enemies for 1 damage each.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this that often, surprisingly.
Yes, it's an epic card. That's why I haven't played it. I played my paladin's level 50, and I've leveled it mostly through Arena. I'd say probably close to 90% through Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of games. And I played Avenging Wrath probably less than a handful of times, just because it doesn't show up. And often, when it does, there's something slightly better. But it is an excellent card.
How do you rate it though? Like, what would you compare it to?
I don't know. If it's like versus a faceless or something like that, I might pick the faceless. Usually with the epics, it's a tough call. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the epic choice in Arena is either pretty good or really bad. There's like, you know, it's like Avenging Wrath or Hungry Crab. That's where it is typically. So when you pick it, it's a pretty obvious choice, I think. And it's a great card. It lets you deal with imps and stuff like that against warlocks, which are, you know, going to lose you the game if you can't deal with them.
Yeah. Trump, what do you think?
The card is great. 6 mana, deal 8 damage is a really good deal. Like, let's see.
Better than direct?
Yeah, and it's better than deal 8 damage. Because okay. You can spread it out a bit. A lot. And you can, I'd say it often 3 for ones, or maybe 2 for ones. So, it's really good. It's like casting 3 magic or
3 arcane missiles. Yeah, okay. Got it. Okay, next up, Guardian of Kings. Battlecry restores 6 health.
I think the card is mediocre to bad. It costs too much, not good stats. I don't care about restoring 6 health very much, although it's a nice bonus. Grip is going to disagree.
He loves this card. I know he loves this card because he played it against me yesterday. All right, Crip, talk about it.
I think this card is awesome. Even though I have that opinion, I typically don't pick it early on. I have to agree with Trump in the fact that it's pretty mediocre, but if you're near like the last third of your Arena picks and the other cards aren't great, I think having one is really good for an Arena deck. I think having that life restore is really good against rogues and pretty good against decks that are going to try to burn you down, which are going to be your weakness. So I think it complements at least my paladin playstyle in Arena very well. That's why I like it. Okay. And, you know, typically I try to get a panda or two in a panda deck.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. He always heals for 12, not 6, when it comes to this card. So.
Yeah, I played someone in Constructed who was playing a mage with Pyroblasts and Fireballs.
Oh, shit.
And I panned him twice and dreamed him twice. And I think I played him twice as well. So
right.
he ran out of cards. There was no cards left in his deck. I was at 30 life.
God. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Okay, last set of cards right here. The two big ones. 2/8 mana. We got Lay on hand. Restore 8 health. Draw 3. It's epic card. What do you think?
I tend to stay away from a card like this, but it's a good card. If again, for the epic slot, I think Avenging Wrath would be a better pick. Just because if you're actually casting this on turn 8, you're going to be in trouble. Turn 8 is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do 2/4 drops, you can do one massive drop. If you're doing nothing, then that's really bad. But if you're in the top decking situation, you're going to win the game with it. So, yeah, it's good, but I prefer more direct cards than this.
Yeah, I have actually made the choice of Avenging Wrath over Helion on Hands before, and I still agree with that. It costs a lot, and you only want it when you're top decking, pretty much. But when you cast it and you're top decking, and your opponent is also top decking, then you win the game, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good stuff. Alright, Tyrion Fordring. Divine Shield, Taunt, yeah, Death Rattle, equipped at 5/3 Ashbringer. One of the best.
Your opponent doesn't have silence, they lose.
Yep. That's pretty much
they have silence, and
thumbs
you
up.
Lose your mind.
Dude, they always have silence when I have that damn card.
Dude,
or they
if
have...
they do have silence, then you have an 8 mana 6/6, which isn't horrible.
So do you pretty much wait until
I mean,
all that stuff
like silence out? Or die. And that's a really good situation to be in.
Yeah.
It's tough in Arena because you can't predict, but for me, it's like I can't play that card until I know like Polymorphs are out and that kind of stuff and construct it. So this card has limited value for me, has had limited value for me in Constructed. But Arena, you know, they don't always have silence, right? By the time you get to 8, so.
I think this card is absurd. Just the 5/3 is so awesome. Like, even in Arena, I've done this move that I do in my Constructed deck where you Kings him, attack, big game him, and finish him with the Ashbringer. You know? You can kill him off for aggression. So it's very, very flexible. And, mm-hmm. you know, it meshes with a lot of other powerful cards very well.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's going to conclude our Paladin analysis. That was pretty good, guys. Good stuff, man. Definitely made me think about some of these cards a little differently. And probably will be evaluating them a little different tonight when I play. But why don't we take a quick break, guys, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about 0 mana and 1 mana cards. We're going to fly through those because, you know, we kind of took our time during that. And then we'll take your questions and finish out the show. But we'll be right back. Thanks, guys. But we're back, and we're going to talk about 0 and 1 mana cards. Wait, can they still hear me? Okay, they can hear me now. And I wanted to start this segment this week and then continue it in the following weeks with the 2-3 mana cards and, you know, 4-5 and continuing so on. Neutral cards. And I wanted to talk about the 0/1 mana cards briefly today because they're somewhat negated because of hero powers. I've kind of felt like a lot of the 1 mana cards, neutral cards at least, are, I mean, they're just not useful, given that a lot of the hero powers can deal 1 damage in turn 2. So let's bring those up right now, and then I'll get your opinions on some of those. Here we go. Okay, so 0 cards, there's not many. Honestly, there's just the coin and the wisp. And we might as well talk coin, and it's been beaten like a dead horse, but... Let's talk coin, Crip.
Oh, hold on. I need some paperwork, too. I gotta look official.
Uh-oh, what's this? What? Oh, shit. Oh, God.
What?
Okay, I need my notes, man. I need to take notes. Okay. So, talk coin, man.
Alright. Coin. I'm pretty sure they're gonna change it. I don't think anyone agrees that coin should be a spell. But
yeah.
The coin is nice because people don't pick 1 drops because they're countered by class abilities. The coin is really good because if you go second, you can do turn 2 drop first and turn 2 drop again on your second turn. So it smooths out your mana curve. And yeah, That's about it. I don't know.
There's not much to say on the coin. I mean, Trump, but any kind of interesting
thoughts?
What, not
much to say about the coin?
Oh, no, sorry, I forget. Trump is the only guy that thinks that coin is balanced for some reason.
Essay about the coin.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Jeez, let's hear it. Why is it balanced, dude?
Since we're talking about zero and ones, I want to actually precede this entire thing.
Okay.
You alluded to it that oftentimes the zero and one cards aren't good because they have just one health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true because of if certain hero abilities didn't work, like I'm actually going to say this, a lot of the one drops are very good against not mage, druid, and rogue.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like if they couldn't just deal one damage, then they'd be pretty good. That said, they can, so therefore they're bad.
I'd argue that Paladin is on that list as well, though.
Oh yeah, Paladin too. I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so talk about the coin.
Alright, so the coin.
Get ready, guys.
I think whether you play the coin well or not in Arena will determine possibly up to a 5% change in win rate when you're going second. Because if you play it on turn one, and then you put a two drop down, and then you don't have a two drop, and you have a weak hero ability, then that's poor use of the coin. There's a lot of strategy on when to play it. Oftentimes, like, it is completely determined by your hand, and you need to use the coin to smooth out your draw, such that you're playing something on every turn.
Right, okay. I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it's very important to the timing of it. I agree with that. But no comments on just the balance aspect of it or anything like that?
Oh, I think it counts as a spell. I think it's a cool effect.
Okay.
Once they nerf Scrub to the ground, it won't be a big problem.
So you think that even just allowing Defias but nerfing just other stuff is fine?
I think it undermines, like, I don't know. In the Rogue Druid matchup, it undermines, like, Innervate. It's like, you know, you Innervate like a Worgen, and then they coin Eviscerate or some stupid crap like that. I don't know.
Or it's like you get Innervate and coin, which is...
I just feel like every time they use the coin to combo, it just feels like I'm being really cheesed out. I don't like that at all. Like, Perdition's Blade style, Eviscerate style, Scrub style, everything just... is really frustrating. I don't think the coolness factor really wins versus the lane factor.
Yeah, I don't forget your thoughts, Trump, on making the coin more of a like a UI button that you enable versus it being a card / spell. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's better or no? You think it's a worse decision to do that?
I think it's neither better nor worse. It's more unique this way, and it is sort of cool how it actually allows you to sometimes give +1/+1 to a guy, allows you to draw a card sometimes. It just, it's a nice bonus.
Okay, I see. You're too tall now. Move your cam up a little. Or down a little.
Dude, I'm just gonna slouch in my chair.
There you go. See, that's how I had you, man. I had you when you were slouching, and now you're like sitting up all proper and shit, man. All I see is this, man. Okay, well, that's interesting. You're like one of the only people that feels that way, Trump, so that's, you know, it's cool that you're, I mean, because you're pretty strong about it, too, and you know, I actually respect it. That's why I bring it up and always have you talk about it. But let's move on. I think the coin will change. I think that they've talked about changing the coin, right? That's part of one of the things that I think they mentioned. So we'll see if that actually happens in this update that we talked about earlier. But the next card is the Wisp. I've never carried the Wisp, so I have like no idea, like even practically speaking, where it would be. So Trump, what do you think?
So it's the only zero-cost neutral... Actually, it's the only zero-cost minion in the game.
Yep,
and
it is.
In that sense, it's pretty unique. Maybe there's going to be some use for Constructed, but in Arena, it's like the second worst card on my list.
Eye for an eye. The worst?
Eye for eye being the worst, guys.
Sorry, for basic and common neutrals.
Oh.
What's the worst?
Grimscale Oracle.
Which might actually buff the opponent. Yeah.
Yeah, which we'll get to.
I've used Wisp. I feel like I've used it more than once, but the one time I remember it using was I played a priest, and the first like 10 cards were so bad that I just decided to pick the lowest casting cost and try to zerg my opponent down. And Wisp was one of the succeeding choices, and it was not impressive.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's try to blow through these a little bit faster than we did. Abusive Sergeant, we got. All right,
kinda
so
like
Abusive
Sergeant.
Plus two.
Okay. I mean, out of the one drops, it's fairly good. You can use it to up a trade later on, and that can sometimes pay for himself. But, you know, again, all the weaknesses are shared, so you have to look at the strengths. The strengths in this one is good.
Yeah, of the one drops, this is actually, I think, the second... No, I shouldn't say the second best one. It's one of the best, better ones. Mm-hmm. That isn't... Wait, does that say 1-1 on it? It's 2-1.
Yeah, but it says 1. Anyway. It's at a day where I got it from, so I... Sorry.
Okay.
It's from...
But anyways...
never mind. It should
be
2-1.
If you weren't up against a mage, druid, or a rogue, or paladin, it would actually be very good. Unfortunately, those exist.
Okay. Yeah. Next, Angry Chicken. You know, when I first saw Angry Chicken, I thought it was one of those, you know, novelty type of cards that are just funny and crap like that, and I still haven't seen it used, just in some fashion, you know, because I imagined giving health, right, and then just attacking it, giving it 6-3 or 6-2 or something like that, and having it just be viable that way, but I haven't seen it. Have you guys seen it used?
So let me put it this way. I actually had the perfect opportunity to try it once because I was drafting a Paladin deck and somehow I got 4 Blessing of Kings. And then the Angry Chicken popped up against 2 weaker choices. So I took Angry Chicken. It still ended up really badly because you don't want to play Blessing of Kings the turn you play Angry Chicken. So I would play the Angry Chicken and then the next turn would roll around and then the Angry Chicken would be dead. Or when they didn't respect it, I put Blessing of Kings on it and then I attacked someone with it and then it became like a 10-1. And then that's still bad.
What? Yep. Wow, okay.
I've also been in that exact situation where I pick Paladin, get like 4 kings, and pick the chicken. And I've also had the exact same experience where I have double kings than Angry Chicken. And I killed like an ogre or something, and then it got eviscerated. So I still lost value. However, I don't think that is the best place for a chicken. Although your image says the chicken is a pet, it in fact is not a pet, it is a wild beast. As a beast, it is pretty good at 100.
Is it classified as a beast?
Yeah.
No, really?
Yes.
Oh my god, that's huge. I didn't know that.
I use the term good kind of loosely, but you can get its value back through a buzzard or through a cult master. Or with Unleash the Hounds.
Dude, Unleash, dude. I could talk about Unleash all day, but yeah.
Yes.
Dude.
So I have played Hunter, and when I play Hunter, I just pick all the beasts without any form of strategy. And I remember one run where I went... actually, I think it was the deck that Trump said was, like, I got screwed on. And I went, like, 8-2, 8-3 on it. And, like, the chicken won 3 of my games. 2 of them through Unleash, and 1, like, I drew a card by killing it off with Cult Master or something like that.
Okay.
But
that's
yes.
Interesting, because, with the Unleash combo, it's equivalent to a board.
Any one-drop beast has some usefulness in a Hunter deck in Arena.
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. All right, next up. That's cool. I'm going to have to look at that a little bit closer then, because... All right, so Argent Squire, Divine Shield.
I have been Angry Chickened before. It was a shaman who buffed it with a sun... what is it called? Sun Shadow Cleric or whatever?
And yeah.
And then he pinged it with a rifleman and hit me for like 7. There you go.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay, that's cool. The chickens, see, the arena is the place for the chicken, I'm telling you, man. I'm not sure I see the place in the constructed.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, Argent Squire. Let's try to go a little faster so we can get some questions. It's hard. It's hard because these cards have, there's so much to talk about. Divine Shield. Use.
I don't know. This card's really annoying when I'm trying to control the board, but I don't know. I don't like it.
Trump?
So the thing that I've learned about the Argent Squire, and I'm a person who likes controlling the board a lot also, is just to ignore it because it's only going to do one damage to your stuff. And whatever. It's better in a deck which can buff stuff.
Dude, it's only really, yeah, it's good in a deck that has Blood Knight too, because I use that combo a lot in my Divine Shield deck. A Bloodsail Corsair. So remove one durability from your opponent's weapon. 1/2.
So one of the better ones.
Mm-hmm.
Still bad.
Grip.
It sucks.
Battlecry is useful.
Nah, I think it sucks. I don't know.
Okay.
One damage is just like, with the number of people that realize what creatures are good, this is just like an enrage me card. So, don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess it could be used if, I don't know, I don't know why, but somebody would coin and arm their hero power, like a rogue or something, right? That's about, I don't know, that's the only scenario I can see that's really good. Alright, let's go to the next one. Elven Archer and
Archer, is okay. Out of the one drops, I think it's one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. If not the best one, I think it might actually be the best one. Nah. I think it's the best common one drop. But still pretty crappy, though.
It's pretty close for me.
Morgan Infiltrator is better.
Which one?
I think Elven Archer sucks.
Oh, the 2-1? The 2-1 sale? Yeah. I think it's pretty good. I think it's one of the best.
I think Infiltrator is better. But it's... The one damage can bring its value back. So if someone else gets a favorable trade on you, you can, you know, even it out with an Elven Archer, and if they can't kill it for free, it's whatever.
Well, you guys keep thinking of this as turn one. I mean, the Elven Archer has a lot of value when it comes to enrage units. Like the Warrior deck, I've been zerged or zooed pretty badly with like double Elven Archer on any of those enrage units, and it's been pretty crazy actually in that later rounds. Not turn one. Turn one, you know, there's not much value to it. But Goldshire Footman.
It is a joke.
yeah, no,
one of the examples
card.
Of where it, just because it says taunt doesn't do enough, it dies to any 2-drop. In fact, it dies to... Well, yeah, it dies... So the big problem is it dies to any 2-drop and it doesn't kill the 2-drop. And it barely even harms the 2-drop.
I go so far to say the Voidwalker is a joke, and this is like a joke version of the joke. It's like joke squared.
The Voidwalker's a... Dude, the 3 damage is... I mean, the 3 health is much stronger. Right?
No?
Okay.
No. I've actually heard a lot of people like Voidwalker in an aggressive deck. I disagree.
Yeah. I've played many Warlock aggressive decks that start with Voidwalker, and it's a pain in the ass against...
We're talking about Arena here also.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking Arena.
Maybe
true.
In Constructed, yeah. Holds a little bit more validity.
That's true. Okay, let's go on to Grimmscale Oracle. All the Murlocs have +1 attack. Grip.
I think Trump said it's like one of the worst one drops, and I think he's right because the other guy might have Murlocs. I mean, if you have Murlocs, then it's not the worst, but still pretty close. I mean, even
if you try to draft a Murloc deck in Arena, you're going to fail.
Oh, God.
I've had some success. I went, like, Murloc, Warloc, or something like that. I went, like, 6. It's okay.
You would... Yeah. I think there's only one circumstance where you can do that. Like, if your first pick is Epic, and you get the 3-mana Murloc, because that thing is...
That's exactly what it was.
Wait, yeah. Which one's the 3-mana Murloc? I forget.
And here's the best part. The last game that I ended up losing was against another Warloc who was also running Murlocs in Arena, and he also... played that card, and I lost the Murlocs with my Murlocs.
Okay, well, speaking of Murlocs, Hungry Crab.
It's a really good sideboard card in Constructed.
Yeah.
Against the Murloc deck.
This is actually the best card in the game. we've had a poll in our chat, and the Hungry Crab has, in fact, come out on top. It is the People's Champion.
Oh, God. I remember the first time I ran a Murloc deck, Hungry Crab played, and I'm like, what, the 3-4 for round one? That was the shittiest.
And very important, it's actually not a pet. It is a wild beast as well. So so it may pay for itself in a hunter deck.
It's no different than a 1-1. I mean, in a hunter deck for the most part.
Okay. Yeah, this is a 1-2.
It doesn't matter. They die. It always dies to an AE. Okay, Leper Gnome. Oh, this is a 2-1-2. I don't know why these... Gosh, this site I used was out of date. This is a 2-1, guys, Leper Gnome. Death Rattle, deal 2 damage to the enemy hero. I know guys like Doa love this card, so
yes.
If
you're playing like Suicide Aggro, I think Leper Gnome is the best 1-drop, just because you're planning on losing all your creatures to nothing anyway. You might as well do some damage if you're going to lose them. And that damage, I mean, in a suicide deck, is going to matter.
Right. Trump?
It's only valid in the most aggressive arena decks. Doesn't worry
also,
a spot
it
in
should
most.
Be 2-attack. Sorry to talk over you there, but that's important.
Yep.
It should be 2-attack.
Yeah, it's 2-1. It's 2-1. That's kind of let in with that. Okay. Light Warden, whenever a character is healed, gain +1 attack.
I found out the other day that you actually get the +1 attack when you heal your hero, because it's a character. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually think about it much, because the card still sucks.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a little
bit better, though. A little bit better because of that.
It's pretty bad, but you can Holy Nova combo. I don't know. It's just not a 1-drop. And, you know, if you need that extra drop when you're Holy Noving on, like, turn 6 or 7, it's... Yeah. Pretty trash, though.
All right, next up, we got 2 Murlocs. Great. Murloc Raider, 2-1.
Oh, was that it?
That's well, you see any text? There's no text on it, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing Murlocs, whatever.
I don't even carry that in my Murloc deck, I think. I'm not sure I even run this one in my Murloc deck.
Yeah, you should. It's a Murloc.
I know. I can't remember. I did for a while, but then I took it out. But, I don't know. What do you guys think? Trump? Anything?
It's terrible.
Okay. Murloc Tide.
It's terrible also.
Murloc Tidecaller.
In Constructed, maybe it's... In Constructed, that card's pretty good.
I had 2 Tidecallers in my Warlock Murloc deck, just to let you guys know.
Oh, brother.
I believe one of the Tidecaller reached the heights of a 4-attack. So pretty beefy.
That's
guy.
Not bad. That's pretty good. And then it died. Everything died on
yes.
one.
The issue is that
one swipe.
If a creature is really threatening and it has 2 life, it's still pretty easy to deal with.
Yeah, or a consecrate or something.
Yep.
All right, next up, Secret Keeper. When a secret is revealed, gain +1/+1. I don't think I've ever used this either.
For some reason, I see this card quite a bit against me in Arena. And it's a 1-2, it's not a 2-1. If it was a 2-1, it'd actually be pretty good, I think. As far
as
the 1 health.
It's worse than a 2-1 than a 1-2.
You think so?
Yeah, because you play that on turn 1, and then...
Play a secret.
You play a secret on turn 2, and then it's a 2-3, and you can trade it like a 2-2 or whatnot. It's pretty good as a 2-3.
Why would you
actually think
a
2-3 is, in general, better than a 3-2, on a side note?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think
I still think this card is crap, though. I've never been overwhelmed by a Secret Keeper.
Okay. Shield Bearer. Taunt, Enrage, plus... Oh, no. It's just Taunt, right? It's not...
Nope.
There's no Enrage on Shield Bearer, is there?
No, even if the card was that, it would still be bad. But unfortunately, it's worse because it got nerfed. It's a 1-mana Taunt, 0/4.
Wait, that got nerfed?
Has no value.
Yeah, this is like an old picture, I think. The site I use has an old picture. It's the only taunt, guys. It's 0/4 taunt, and I don't love it either. Seen some guys make use of it with a priest, but, you know.
I mean, every time I say this card sucks, like, someone drops it. I'm like, oh, what a joke. This player sucks. Guess I'm going to win. And then turn 2 Flame Tongue Totem, or some crap
yep.
like that, or
exactly.
Lightwell.
Mm-hmm.
And then end up not doing so well. So I don't know. It's crap, though. But yes, it has. All taunts have some usefulness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some.
Yes. So, let's see.
It doesn't warrant the use of a card, though.
Yes.
For the most part.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. South Sea Deckhand has charge while you have a weapon equipped. Basically, a 2 damage, like
this
a TDD spell.
This is a really good card as far as a 1-drop is concerned, especially if you're a rogue, I'd imagine. I think it's I have to pick this over other cards as a paladin. And, I mean, with a rogue, you always have a weapon, so it's pretty good.
Cool. All right, Voodoo, or what do you think, Trump? Sorry.
Same.
Okay.
Sucks if you don't have weapons.
Of course. Voodoo Doctor, similar. I mean, all these 2-1 cards now, just with different text.
Yeah, this effect doesn't do enough. It's like the Sergeant, Abusive Sergeant, but worse. Because the Abusive Sergeant lets you trade up, the Restore 2 health will sometimes let you trade up, but not often.
2 is just too little. I think the Farseer is pretty decent with the 3, but I feel 2 is just a little bit too small to make a difference.
All right.
I mean, even if it were 3, the problem is that it's a 2-1, and the one health is just unacceptable under most circumstances.
Yeah, most heroes kill it immediately. All right, Worgen Infiltrator. You claim this is the best one, right, Trump? But we'll start with Grip. Let's start with Grip.
I think it's a pretty good card as well. I've picked a few since talking to Trump about picks and all that, and I've had some success. I would probably pick any combination of 5 total stats to drop over this any day. So like a 2-3 or a 3-2 of any type as a 2 drop, I'd pick that over the Infiltrator.
Yeah, sure.
But sometimes it's Infiltrator versus Wisp versus, you know, Leper Gnome, and you can make the choice for the Infiltrator.
I actually think the Infiltrator is a good card. I'd pick it over 2-3.
I do too. I think it's really good.
So basically, it's your answer to any problematic 2 drops which have 2 health. And I've let this guy stay stealth until, like, turn 6 before. It's nice because it evades the 1 random damage. Well, not random damage, but it evades most 1 direct damage.
Yeah, that's true. I've played it later in games, too, mixed with imps and that kind of thing. It works. It's good. It's nice. The next up, we got the Young Dragonhawk, Windfury, 1-1. It's a beast.
If you can buff it. I mean, if you can buff it somehow and your opponent has let it survive, then it's pretty good. But you can't.
Grip.
Yeah. It's a beast. So, beast deck. Not completely useless.
It's unfortunate in Arena it's so bad, because it's actually pretty awesome in Construct. This is one of my favorite cards now in my Hunter Constructed.
One of the biggest beatdowns I've taken in Arena was the 2 Young Dragonhawk drops.
Yeah,
It was 2 Young Dragonhawks into Direwolf, and then I played a creature, and he Bestial Wrathed the Young Dragonhawk.
Dude, I just wait till round 6, 7, or 8, and I just unleash the 2 Wolves and the 2 Dragonhawks, and then unleash, and then it's like 14 damage right there, and you can do it twice. and if you have Buzzard, you get cards, so it's like ridiculously good and constructed. Alright, let's move on to... Okay, so last one, we got Young Priestess.
I think this card's pretty good. You can typically get some value if you're not playing a mage, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, if that was a 1-2, I think that'd be pretty good.
It's a 2-1.
Be super good if it were a 1-2.
Yeah, it's a 2-1, guys. It's a 2-1. I need a.
The problem is, against the mage, it gets pinged instantly. Against others, you can typically play it behind the taunt and have really, really good value. If you're not playing a mage or someone that can kill it instantly, they're very likely to use a kill card on it immediately. And you get very good value for that, because not only did you get a 1-for-1, but it buffed one of your existing creatures as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the card is really good against the 4 classes, or against the non-3 classes, which can deal 1 damage to it.
Yeah. Did I miss the boar? Isn't the boar... Is the boar hunter only?
No.
I missed the boar, didn't I?
Yeah, there was no boar in there.
Yeah, we gotta talk about the boar, man. The boar's so annoying for half the classes.
Value boar.
Oh, this is like an outdated boar. The side I'm using is just outdated. Okay, so the boar is... Here's the boar. But it's 1-1, and it's a charge. That's not even the name of it. It's like something... It's 1-1, and it's charge. So,
it's real bad.
I think
it's real bad? Oh, man.
Yes. Okay. Whenever someone who isn't a hunter uses the boar on me, I just think of, like, the free win potential. I'm excited. potential. Yes.
Oh, God. That's awesome. I guess with Paladin, Paladin's pretty bad. But Abhor, I mean, you know, I don't play it on turn one at all. But if you were to play it turn one against a, I don't know, warrior?
You don't play that on turn one. You play it like Elven Archer.
Except it is the arrow.
I mean, it is the, no, it dies. That's the problem, is it dies. Elven Archer is so much better. I mean, you play it with the buzzer. That's what you do. I mean, it's, but, or you play it with the hyena, right? So. Again, yeah, it's called Huffer. Is it called Huffer? No, Huffer is the 4-2.
Stone Tuskbore. Valiant Tuskbore, a.k.a.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyways, that's going to be talk for the 0 and 1 mana cards. We're going to be doing this each and every week. We'll do 2-3 next week. But we're going to go into the topic really quick before viewer Q&A. For those of you that want to ask questions, go ahead and post it in this Hearthstone thread right here that I'm about to link. And
I kind of want to ask Trump some questions on Arena, because I've made some discoveries lately, and I think some people would care to listen to it since we're still talking about cards. If we're cool with this.
Yeah. What do you want to talk? I mean, like, what about Arena in particular?
So Trump really loves this, what's it called? The Harvester. I don't know what it's actually called. It's the
Harvest
2-3 three, Harvest Golem, yes. And I've been playing Constructed lately. And I've been trying to think of cards that I can put in my deck that'd be really good. And I put in the Karen card, which is 6 mana for a 4/5, and when he dies, you get another 4/5. And that card is insane. No one so far has killed it fully. Like, if I play it, I still have something by the next turn. No one's defeated the full card yet. And I feel that as a paladin is incredible, because that's instant board control.
All right, you're talking about Sylvanas, right? Yeah, Sylvanas.
No, I'm talking about Cairn.
How do you spell it?
Cairn Bloodhoof. Yeah,
yes.
It's a strong card.
Oh, Bloodhoof.
I made the comment on my stream that, you know, it's incredible, it's 6 mana, and I just added up the stats, and I'm like, for an 8-10. And they're like, well, not really, because you're never really doing 8 damage, so it's like a 4-10. But it still feels really strong. And I feel the Harvester has the same effect, so I'm kind of curious how you rank the Harvester, because the Harvester isn't really a 4-4 for 3 mana. It's like a 2-4 for 3 mana. But you typically end up with a creature by next turn, and that's like the value. So how do you like put that in comparison with other cards? Like, how do you rank the Death Rattle creature action? How do you scale that? Because it's not really a direct numbers game anymore.
Yeah, it's not only that, it's also like anti-AoE, so in that sense it's better than a 2-3 and a 2-1, because they clear the board and you still have a 2-1. I actually rank it really highly. It's hard to explain why. A lot of the people in the tournament we were in, those druids, I think they both ran 2 copies of Harvest Golem, so it's really good even in Constructed, I would say.
Well, Constructed has very, especially Druid, right, has really good synergy with I'm having a brain fart, but the spell that, you know, whenever Death Rattles Treants, right? Like, all your minions Death Rattle Treants, so...
Yeah, I'm saying, like, they played it without any synergy and was still quite good.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the Karen card? Have you ever played it?
I've played it in the arena. I think it's good. It's like a double Yeti. A Yeti that dies and then becomes another Yeti. Mm-hmm. For just, what, 2 more.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I'm also curious on, like, the Divine Shield aspect, because the Divine Shield creatures also have, like, a hidden value where they can't really be killed instantly. And I don't know, like, I've played a lot of Paladin, and those Scarlet Crusaders are really annoying, even though I can make 1/1 creatures to essentially kill them for free. Tends to not be the case. Typically, they get some good value, regardless of me having 1/1 creatures. So how do you see that as value? Like, how do you quantify it?
That 3-1 has been on my side forever. It's, like, gone up in my rankings a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Seems weak because of the 1 health, but it isn't. 2-for-1's a lot. Some of these things are just an experience thing. Like, First Instinct was that it's garbage, and then when I play against it a lot, it keeps rising in value to me.
Yeah. For me, it's actually above the Forticast 3-3. I think it's better than that one. Yep.
Forticast 3-3. Oh, you even found the Divine Shield one, right?
Silvermoon.
Yeah, Silvermoon. Mm-hmm.
Guardian or something.
Yeah, Crusader's a good card. I run that card a lot in my Paladin constructed ones, so... Divine Shield is just so... Divine Shield is really strong in Arena, right? I mean, it's...
No. You don't see it that much.
Really?
The themed decks are not very big. Divine Shield is very weak against mages, and when you play Arena, very often you're queuing into a mage or a rogue, I feel at least.
Yeah, but even if it's bad against a mage, it's still 2 mana to pop it. Okay. Alright, any other findings? I kind of had this thing this topic is more just general findings in the game that you guys discovered. Or maybe it's something that's kind of like annoying that's like, should be different. I'll throw one out there just to get us started. So the fairy. The one thing about the fairy that annoys me, or just bothers me, is the text says that spells don't affect it. But in reality, it's just, you can't target it. But the AE effects actually kill it, which is... I don't know. It's just kind of annoying because the fairy, I feel like the text was meant to make it, you know, a little bit above and beyond the other 3/2s, that too. What do you guys think of that?
Fairy is just like any other whatever 3/2 creature. I don't really rank its ability.
I actually rank it pretty highly because, I mean, I rank it significantly higher than the 3/2 Razor Fin Raptor. Bloodfin Raptor, sorry. But we're talking about, like, how it could be misconstrued. It just says spells can't target it, I think, which...
It actually says targeted. Never mind.
Yeah, which didn't really confuse me at all. But I actually have had a lot of people in my chat say, like, you can't kill it with your AoE.
I just keep assuming that, but I'm just sitting here reading it now. It's freaking targeted.
Fair misconception.
It's like, God, Jamin, you should be reading, dude. Reading's such a hard thing. Okay, anything for you guys? Random thoughts? Anything?
Yeah, so I picked something up really huge from the Hearthstone Reddit. So on the map where there's the radishes, I mean the farm where you can water it, you can have only a maximum of 2 radishes. And
what?
Amazing.
What the hell, dude? Yeah. Blizzard, you're killing us, man. Killing us. So you can have 3 carrots, though?
You can't have 3 carrots, but the radishes are too big, and one does not fit on the left side.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some questions. Q&A. This is questions from you guys, the viewers. And lots of good ones today. I was looking at some of them earlier and saved them for this portion of the show. Let's see. Questions for Crip and Trump. How have your evaluations of cards evolved if you've played Arena? It's kind of a general question. Let me move on.
Yeah, you like play stuff, and then your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. How about this? How are your thoughts? Well, what are your thoughts on the rewards for good Arena runs versus good runs? What about rewards in Arena? What do you think about it right now? How it's pretty random. Gold and dust seems to be valued
for some
similar
reason. I typically tell myself like I'm imagining this kind of shit, but I don't think I am. Like, lately in the past, like, 3 or 4 days, I'm just getting, like, the bare minimum, like, every time. Like, I got 7 yesterday, I got 150 gold, I got 9 the day before, I got 150 gold, I got 9 the day before, it's like 160 gold.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been really rough lately. Like, I just, no luck at all in the rewards.
Dude, I've got 9 and 250 dust, okay? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's just garbage.
Yeah, I mean, I've had days where I've made 1,000 gold, and then 2 days later I lose 800 of it, and that's happened twice now.
Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, dust is clearly less valuable to those of us who like playing Arena. In fact, it almost has 0 value to us.
Yep.
So it's almost like not getting any prize when you get to, say, like 8 wins, and you get the 150 gold, 200 dust pack. Not much I can say about that. Like, it's good for Blizzard because if everyone were to get like too much gold, then you wouldn't need to buy more packs or more entry fees.
Well, is it an issue with exchange rate between like dust and gold? Because, you know, they are giving us dust when they're not giving us gold, right? or they're giving us an extra pack, or you know, that sort of thing. So is that ratio, or that you know, kind of rate exchange rate between the two just off by a lot? Because you know, buying a card, it's pretty rare that I buy a card. I mean, I usually just buy the legendaries that I need for specific constructed decks. Yeah. Is that an issue? I mean, do you value the dust at all that you guys get?
Yeah, dust does have a value. It's I've been using to build the constructed decks for the tournaments I've been playing in. And I think those who enjoy playing both Arena and Constructed do like the dust. It's a great system. The sole problem lies in the people who only play Arena. Then the dust is valueless.
Yeah.
So maybe if there was some way to convert dust to entry for Arena, they'd be happier. The Blizzard has said in the patch notes that they're reworking the reward system a bit, so maybe something like that.
I think you should just choose what you want when you do Arena.
Yeah, like, that'd be nice.
I'm sure the guys who don't do Arena much, they want as much dust as possible, so they can just, you know, for the dust or for the gold whenever you enter Arena or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to choose, because At the very least, you should break even. I mean, come on. I mean, 9 for sure, and I even think like 6 or 7, you should probably break even.
Getting 0 with 6 is the worst. That is the worst.
It is the worst. Okay, so Ngaze asks, have you read Brian Kibler's article in Hearthstone? Can you discuss the points he makes? And Brian Kibler is the former designer of the WoW TCG. Here, let me show you the article.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the original designers.
Hmm.
You guys read the article?
I read the end. The important part. As I mentioned.
I skimmed through it.
What'd you think? What do you think about his points, I guess, what he thinks is, or disagrees with the game?
It's hard to say without, like, a specific point from...
Hero powers. How about that? Hero powers. And okay. For those of you who didn't read it, he makes a point of the hero powers, the way they are currently in Hearthstone, being problematic to the balancing of the game, and especially the future balance of the game, since they play such a big role in just how the games play out. And they're where like in MTG it's just all cards, right? And there's the cards kind of play themselves. So what were your comments? Oh, hello? You guys there? Okay. All right, you're there. Okay, sorry.
What's going on?
Shit, sorry. Skype was frozen there for a second. Uh-oh.
Oh, was it? Okay. Well, the article summarizes a lot of the good stuff, but in general, it seems to... summarize that some of the hero powers are really overpowered, and it ruins the one drop, and it ruins like the flow of the game and all that. That's about it. And pretty much right. Is it DDoS? Are you getting owned right now?
Just restart your cameras. Your cameras are just frozen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do I do that? Oh, click.
Yeah, just click the video button a couple times.
I can't re-click it. Button's like grayed out now. Oh, okay. There it is. There we go. Okay. Bam.
Bam. Coming. Sir. Loading up.
Damn, dude. What's that there green shit?
Green shit? That's you.
Whoa.
It's true. It's your gnome or whatever, right?
A gnome? What?
Goblin. Goblin or whatever. It's like shit.
Troll, yeah.
Oh, is it a troll? It's a green troll. Okay, shit. I didn't look at it closely. Jeez, man.
Okay. Yeah, but basically...
yeah, it's not as bad as the people who called...
the gnomish inventor. The gnomish inventor? The engineer, right? We're talking about engineer. Yeah, engineer, right? Yeah.
Back to the Kibler article. What it talks about is pretty much true. I think the hero powers are pretty pretty ridiculously imbalanced, I feel. I try to make like a priest constructed deck that would be like fast-paced yesterday, and it's just not happening. And the main reason is the hero power. You can't complement any of what you're doing. You're just playing the cards themselves. You're not really amplifying them in any way.
Yeah. I think it restricts design, too. I think, you know, future, when they're going to add stuff, I think it's going to, you know, force them to do a certain thing, a certain, you know, go down a certain road that they've already gone down versus just being able to mix it up even more than they currently are.
I don't know. At the same time, like, you know, I don't know if giving every hero an ability to do one damage to a creature is really the way to go about it. So I haven't really thought about, like, a solution to it. But it definitely does undermine a lot of the cards. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's kind of a bad thing, just because some people have good ways to deal with it and others don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Okay, I guess you got
it. I really like hero powers, because the ability to smooth out your plays with, like, the two mana things when they're actually significant is fantastic, and it's way better than not having it. I suppose the problem would be, like, not all hero powers are equal.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly it. Like, when you're playing a priest, you pretty much don't have a hero power, and that sucks. You know, you're exactly right. But I think it's the difference between that you have to look at.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring up another question here. Okay, so Imp II asks, what do you think about the not existing 2-card limit in Arena, good or bad?
What?
It's good, right?
Basically, you can run, like, 4 buzzers.
Yeah, you can run more than 2 in it, right? Like, unlike Constructed. It's great. I think it's great.
I don't know how else they would really make it work, so it's just how it is. Seems all right. Seems pretty cool to kind of guess what your opponent has the entire game rather than eliminating possibilities as the game goes on.
Yeah. Perpetuous, do you think Blizzard will introduce Death Knights monks relatively soon, or will it take a while due to balancing the classes available right now? Do you think it's in a state where they could add more classes?
Yeah, they could.
Why not?
It's in a pretty good place, I think.
They'll come with the expansion, whenever that is.
Yeah.
You think they're going to have an expansion? I mean, it's a free game. They can't sell you anything.
Well, I mean, by expansion, I mean, like, in future patches, they'll add more cards, and then they'll add a class eventually.
Absolutely. All right, Spoony asks, question to Krip, how did you feel about your tournament performance yesterday, and do you feel that Trump has bragging rights into your next meeting?
Well, I mean, Trump did stomp me pretty hard, but I think if we just played it out, Rogue versus Paladin, he'd win the vast majority anyway. It just so happened that the two matches that we played, you had a pretty crushing performance. But I'm a little bit disappointed that the person that won the tournament is a druid that I beat twice in my practice day earlier.
That sucks.
So had I beat that guy, I think I would have won the tournament just because of the way the matchups happened. Like, I wouldn't have had to fight Trump. I think my chance of winning the tournament was pretty good, so that's why I was a little bit disappointed.
All right, we got Pictaroo. Question for everyone. What's the one feature you really want to see after it's finally released? Like, what's the key feature that's missing right now from the game, from each of us? I'll start off. Spectator mode. It's easy for me, because I want to do events, and I can't do events without, you know, asking for permission to stream other people's streams and that sort of thing. Trump, what about you?
Needs a better ladder/ranking system for both Constructed and Arena, so that people who play Constructed can feel like they're the best if they are.
Yeah.
And they can get a sense of, like, accomplishment and climbing.
Grip.
I don't know. I think more than just the climbing, they need either more balance or more complexity to the game. I mean, I think the tournament that we participated in yesterday highlighted the fact that not much has changed since the last tournament, which happened a month ago. The druid decks were all the same, pretty much, and they were pretty much almost a mirror of the deck that Rekful played a month back. So that hasn't changed, and change, I think, has to happen for the tournament scene to get started, and I think there's huge interest in it. Because when we do have the tournaments, a lot of people are interested in watching.
Yeah. Okay, next...
I think it was way different than Rekful's deck, by the way.
Which one? Wait, that one?
Both Druid decks who were in the finals. Like, yeah. I casted the finals, and...
They played, like, their alternate version, but their base deck was, like, exactly the same, with, like, all the spell power cards and all the spells. And that's... I think that's what every Druid ran as the base. But they had, like, a...
Yeah, the base is the same, as is the usual, but, like, the choices they made, they focused on a bit more early game survivability, some creatures, and they got some, different late game finishers, which I thought were more efficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in general, I mean, you can't say the deck was really radically different.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, you can't play it.
You're going to run the swipes. Yeah. You're going to run the wraps. Yeah. You're going to run.
You can't play it that radically different.
Yeah, but then that list has like 70% of the deck on it. I think that's kind of the issue. Is my point.
Well, okay. Yeah. More cards.
More cards, for sure. More cards. There's going to be more cards. It's like, for sure. Okay, Hump Lump. We're not going to be able to get to all these questions, guys, because we kind of ran over quite a bit. But we'll try to get to as many as we can. Do you think the cards should be balanced differently and not being completely random? Like, for example, Animal Companions being the most extreme where one like he can think of. So what do you think of the cards that randomly, some of the RNG is involved in it, particularly with what card shows up? Trump.
Well, Animal Companion is balanced such that no matter which one you get, it's a good deal. Of course, some of them are better for this situation than others, and the randomness, it's tough for me to say whether I like it or don't, but I'm going to say that I like it just because you have to plan around all the possible contingencies you'll get.
Grip?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say I like the randomness, but you can't really go around it as a card game. I don't like the fact that, you know, you can just cue into the perfect hand with a crap hand and get annihilated. And that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, in the instance of the Animal Companion, I actually kind of like it, and I generally hate random situations. You know, I usually like things, okay, it's going to be this way when I play it. But it does add some excitement to it. I mean, sometimes it's win or loss based on this card. You know what I mean? What comes up? Does the Huffer come up, or does, you know, the 2/4 card come up? So it does add some excitement to it, and it's kind of cool. I think it'll help with events, too, having a few more of those. Okay, question for anyone. Favorite card synergy combo? Don't say Defias, please. Don't say Coin Defias. Don't say Coin Scrub, please.
I think the Youthful Brewmaster is one of the coolest cards.
Wait, but with what?
I mean, the way I set up my Constructed Paladin deck, you know, I have so many counters to everything, and I can stack it up against the guy I'm playing. So if he has a lot of weapons, I can play the Oozes and Panda the Oozes. So just
okay.
Panda plus Battlecry, I think, is my favorite.
Panda plus Battlecry. All right, Trump.
Yeah, I think I'll go one step further and say specifically, just because Crip showed me the power of it, like Panda plus Leroy.
Oh,
Panda
yeah.
Panda plus Leroy? Yeah. Okay, so the whelps?
My counterfeit deck.
Oh, your counterfeit.
Kill someone with Leroy.
What is it? Remind me? Like,
basically, you play Leroy and you Panda him back, or you Shadow Step him.
Okay, and then he gets...
Can do, like, Leroy and then Vanish, and the guy has two whelps in his hand, and if he's at 10 cards and he can't
draw right. So, I remember the Cho version of it. I forgot
I don't want to go into the counterfeiting too much, but I do like the idea of, like, playing the Leroy and then buffing him and then bringing him back, because Leroy's weakness is that he only has two. You can do a lot of damage with Leroy. It's sort of, it's cool.
Yeah.
And you can, Leroy, Panda, Leroy, or Leroy, Shadow Step, Leroy, and sick damage,
The Shadow Step Leroy is the coolest one, I think.
Shadow Step Leroy. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you can do Leroy, Shadow Step, Leroy, Shadow Step Leroy, right?
It's because you can do turn 4 Leroy Shadow Step, and then when turn 7 comes around, you can do Leroy Faceless.
Sick.
Or turn 8, Leroy Old Blood Faceless. And you can do 20 damage.
Alright, let me show you guys Leroy. I should be showing you guys that. For those of you guys don't know, It's a card called Leroy Jenkins. You know, funny enough. Yeah, this was actually the first legendary I got was Leroy Jenkins. And it basically summons one or two 1/1 whelps into your opponent's hand. They're actually cards, right, that show up in their hands.
Into the field, actually.
Oh, is it field? Oh, it's field. So it's not counter. How's a counterfeit, then? How does it actually affect the counterfeit?
You do Leroy and then vanish. You get Leroy back, and you fill his hand with whelps.
Oh, vanish. Right. I gotcha. Oh, okay. I see. Okay, got it now. And what he's talking about with the counterfeit, guys, if you didn't watch Crip's video, check it out, actually, on his channel. He talks about this strategy where you fill your opponent's hands up to the 10 max cards so that they start burning their actual cards. I mean, it's not, you know, it's kind of cool.
They burn their draw.
They burn their actual, you know, draw cards. So
when your turn starts, you draw a card, and the max number of cards in your hand is 10.
Yep.
So they don't draw a card, essentially. And you can also use sap as full removal. And it also denies death rattle because the cards die in their hand.
Yeah, I thought that was really creative and pretty cool, you know, just a frame of thinking about the game. So good job on that, man. That's really cool. Okay, next up, let's see. Oh, my combo, God, I don't know. There's a lot of different colors. Redemption's always great with any Divine Shield. I like the Whirlwind with the Warrior. I don't play the Warrior that much, but the Whirlwind with the draw card. You know, that card worth all the damage? Oh, man, that's so good, too.
Range, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good card when there's a shitload of things on the board. Okay, so if Crip, Trump, Chan-Man were cards, what kind of stats and special techs would they have? Oh, Jesus. From Lord Silver. This is good, because our intro has cards, and I couldn't think of text to put on them. So this is actually going to help the content of the show right now. Can you think of anything?
I think I should make Trump's, and Trump should make mine.
He's going to make mine, then. Damn. All right, we'll get back to you on that, Lord Silver.
Yep.
Let's see. How about two or three more? Here.
I always picture Trump as, like, the blue wizard, because he has, like, the blue background, and now he's wearing a blue shirt, and you put him with a blue tag. Like, what are you doing, dude? What's with the blue?
Yeah, man.
It's your favorite color, man. Here it is. Is it your favorite color?
This is my favorite color set.
Dude, I got the Paladin, nice. And Trump's playing a blue magic deck right now.
Nice. Okay. Calm63 asks, question for Crip and Trump. What would you recommend as the best class for beginners?
I think Mage.
Mage, because that's what they start you off with.
Yeah.
I think Hunter is pretty good, too. Hunter's pretty straightforward, too.
I think the base Hunter deck is the best deck, but out of the base decks.
Best deck for beginners or best deck?
No, out of the base decks, like the decks that you get without leveling.
Oh, I see, yeah.
The Hunter is the
that's
best
probably
one.
True. That's probably true.
I was actually beating constructed decks. I got to the Diamond 3 with the base decks, and most of that was Hunter and Warrior carrying, because they almost won every game.
What would be cool about the wipe is you'll be. I mean, I think it's the thing about the wipe that's really cool is that it's a good time to you know, people that want to make guides, like Doe was talking about making like base deck guides, and seeing how far you can get with them when everybody starts over. Right now that a lot of people have played some, I think it'll be interesting to see if you could do that again, Prip, make it to 3.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I just did it because I wanted to level my guys, not as some sort of achievement, but.
Yeah.
The Mage is just really strong because all the cards are direct, they're very self-explanatory, mm-hmm. and the Mage ability is a very strong one, so you get to understand that it's very powerful to use your ability as much as possible. I think it's the best introductory class, and that's what they use.
Yeah. Coptition asks, each of you, what is your favorite legendary minion and why? Trump, you want to start it?
Well, my favorite is probably Nat Pagel. Like not the strongest one, I think, but flavor-wise, as well as just because it does what I like it to do. I like Nat Pagel a lot.
All right, the 50% card. Okay.
I'm going with Ysera. Ysera is just
You love Ysera.
The beast. Like, the 4/12 is, like, so much better than, like, an 8/8, for instance. Like, you cannot get rid of Ysera. It just like just feeds on creatures and you get cards and it's just unstoppable. And even if you know, if you're getting low on Ysera, you just dream her back, play her again. It's I don't know. Like if you let Ysera go loose for like three turns, it's done.
Yeah, if you can if you have ultimate control and can get Ysera out and have you know, like if you can get to like round 12 or something with Ysera, then she's pretty nasty. But I have a problem with getting to that point, so maybe my control decks just aren't quite as crazy good. But my favorite legendary, God, it's I've had a new appreciation of Malagus, you know, the +5 spell power with some of the, you know, like the Warlock has Soulfire, you can do like 18 damage, man, if you get both Soulfires out. Last night's just like sick. But before that, I've been playing a little bit with Cho. I know you like hate Cho or something, right, Trump? I've been playing with Cho a little bit just because I just feel like it throws a huge wrench into your opponent's plays. Depending on when you play it, it just depends on how much of a mind games you play with them, because you know it's not that big a deal to actually give a spell to your opponent, but people think it is, so they kind of overvalue that ability by Cho, and it screws people up quite a bit. So I think one of those, Malagus or Cho for me.
I do have to say that Master of Disguise on top of Lorewalker Cho is really funny.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, last one. We'll pick one. Which one should we pick? Gosh, this is... Okay, there's a question about cards. Do you think 30 cards is too few? Because Magic has a bunch more, right? What do you think?
I think it's up...
Okay.
What?
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I think it's nice that it has like a finite end to the game. Not as harsh as Magic, to where you just instantly lose. Mm-hmm. But it plays into the life dynamic, and I think it's very good. You can beat a mage deck that tries to kill you in one turn just by healing the whole game. You know, stuff like that. It adds a lot of depth, and I think it needs more depth rather than less. So I think they should keep it the way it is.
Okay, Trump.
I was actually thinking, like, if the decks were larger, you would get more depth because you would have harder choices on what cards to put in, since there are a few obvious cards right now, and then you can add even more. That said, I like the number as is, and I'm sure they did a lot of testing around it, because with Magic, you rarely run out of the cards in your deck, but in Hearthstone, you go through most of them.
Yeah, I like it at 32, because, and for me, it's more of, it's a different reason. I kind of like it to be a little bit more on the casual side. You know, if we're talking like the crazy extremes, and, you know, I kind of like the fact that it's a little bit more casual and more accessible, because the popularity of the game, I think, is, you know, the biggest thing in the end for a lot more people just to play, the, you know, these types of games, and it helps the entire genre and you know, even MTG and everything, I think Hearthstone does well. So I think 30 is a good, it's perfect for just that type of session, that play session being a pretty limited amount of time. I think that's good.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing, you know, people in chat are saying that in Magic, you know, at the very least one third of your deck are lands anyway, or land production.
Mm-hmm.
And those aren't like some of them are cards, but most of them, as far as I remember playing, were pretty dull cards that you didn't really want to draw many times.
Actually, there's one. Okay, one last question. This is a good one. Elmo Trooper, which card has your favorite artwork on it? This is the last question.
Ooh, right. One sec.
Okay, you're gonna look at which card has your favorite artwork? I think I already know mine. I can tell you mine. I like Nat Pagel's artwork.
I think I don't know. I like the voices more than the art. I think.
Oh yeah, the voices are great.
Oh yeah, that's true. I haven't really taken. I mean, I know they say things, and they're really cool effects, and the whole game has cool effects. It's just...
I think one of the most epic sounds is actually Tarn Warrior. When Tarn Warrior comes to play, I'm like, oh, man! You know, I get excited.
Get pumped!
Yeah.
The 2-3 taunt, right? Tarn Warrior?
Yeah, he's crappy.
Man, Trump. I don't know, because I've never played that card.
Oh. Tarn Warrior, right here, guys. I don't even know what he says, man. I have to remember that.
There's like something watch over me or something like that. But he does it like in the deep Tauren sound, and it just brings you back to WoW a little bit.
Ah, cool.
My favorite art, I'm just on a quick browse through, and because Mage is pretty early on it. Looks like Pyroblast, because it's just a big, gigantic fireball, and you know it's going to kill you.
Pyroblast?
Yeah, Pyroblast.
I think mine is a foil True Silver Champion. It's really epic, because it makes your hero like shiny and has flowers and shit all over.
Alright, let's show these. Okay. Oh yeah, Pyroblast. I never really noticed the actual casting of it. That's kind of cool.
I wonder what a foil Pyroblast looks like. Let's see if it's...
Oh, that's pretty neat. I don't have one, actually. I don't have one. You have a foil Pyroblast? Nice, man.
No, I don't, but you can, like, look it up when you try to craft it.
Oh, I see.
The fireball looks really crazy.
This guy's my favorite.
Entire thing glitters.
Which one?
A Nat Pagel. I like Nat Pagels.
There's, like, a dude with a fish.
Yeah, it's cool, though. I mean, the artwork's actually cool. I'm not talking about it, you know.
That's not cool. What?
I don't know. I think the quality of the actual picture is pretty neat.
Oh my god.
Dude, we all have different art is subjective, okay?
Oh, dude, it's just a dude with a fish.
Oh my god. Please, man, please. Okay. Well, alright, guys.
The Fen Creeper art is pretty cool, too.
The Fen Creeper? Let me see. It's just this green blob, right?
There's a gnome that's fishing on top of the Fen Creeper.
Oh man, I haven't noticed that. Really? Alright, let me see this. I didn't even notice. See, that's the thing about the artwork. You really have to... You know, I don't think I've really looked closely.
Cool.
Oh my god, that is kind of neat. Oh yeah, shoot, I never noticed that on top there. That's kind of cool.
That's what he's eating. He's eating the worm. Like, oh, that's nice.
Oh god, yeah, I didn't even notice that until you guys pointed that out. That's cool. I'm gonna look at these cards closer, man. Really, really close.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, guys, why don't we wrap the show? We kind of went over by... Oh my god, like an hour. I was like, if I'm not going to make these shows an hour and a half, it's going to be shorter than my other shows, and shit, it's like longer than my other shows. So,
yeah, but, it worked pretty badly. Yeah.
But I think, you know, I had a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys did too. But now it's time to do some shout-outs, thank yous, all that good stuff. Crip, you want to start us off with any shout-outs you want to do?
Yeah, I like orange juice. Go orange juice. I don't know. What?
All right. Yeah. Yeah, baby. All right.
So.
All right, Trump, why don't you go, man? Show me how it's done.
I would like to make a shout out to Sprite. It is the best soft drink.
Oh my god. Okay. Are you sponsored by Sprite now?
It's Coca-Cola? Green. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Woo.
I know it's green. What's going on? Oh, it's got a little blue in it, man. That's why Trump likes it. Still a little blue in it. That it? Oh yep. My god, you guys. Alright, so let me show you how it's done. All right. So big shout out to all the viewers that came and watched us today. Thanks for coming and checking out episode 1 of Value Town. We're going to be doing this each and every week. Might not be every Thursday. We'll just be trying to figure out you know, different days, different times. We'll see. Whatever works best for the three of us. But yeah, expect some more, and some of these segments will continue. I want to add playing to this show, so we've been talking about some things to incorporate at the end of the show that involves bringing up the game and a lot of that sort of business. So we'll do a lot of different stuff, not just pure discussion. And yeah, so look forward to that. The VODs are going to be on youtube.com/chanmanv. Here, I'll just link it real quick. You can find that probably about 15-20 minutes after the show. I'll upload it immediately. Might take a little bit longer, given we had some issues in the beginning, but check those out. All the show VODs will be there in the future, too. Follow this channel if you want to be notified whenever we go live and that sort of business. And last shout-out for me, I want to give a shout-out to GameHeart. It's a StarCraft II thing. For those of you who don't know me in particular, I'm a content producer for StarCraft II-related stuff and esports, and GameHeart is a StarCraft II-related UI obzing type of technology or whatever, but it improves the viewership of for folks that watch in StarCraft 2, especially the tournaments and events. And the creator is running an Indiegogo that's you know all about him improving it and adding the plugin ability of it. And I want to support him because this guy has done amazing work to push the StarCraft II viewing experience. He's kind of pushed Blizzard's product to kind of improve too. So support this guy, guys. Donate if you guys can donate to anything in esports, because this guy's made no money off of this project at all up to this point. And what he's talking about doing is going to be amazing too. So do that, please, if you can. But until next time, guys, for Kriparian, Trump, and Chan Man V, we'll see you next time. Later.
Yeah.